for news, traffic, and weather, or your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Would it be crazy if you just stopped everything, packed your bags, and left for a week, a month, a year? What if you left for 2 years? Would people think you'd lost your mind? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? A village crowded with Buddhist temples, not skyscrapers. A place where there isn't a word for recluse, but 1,000 words for community. Would it be crazy to go 5,000 miles from home? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about? To build libraries and fill them with stories? Prepare a meal with food you helped grow? To teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself? Would that be crazy? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
I know someone with lupus.
My girlfriend.
My mommy.
We work together.
My sister.
My neighbor.
I know someone with lupus. She's so tired.
Fatigue, achy joints, and fever.
Severe chest pains, heart problems.
Her kidneys gave up.
He had a seizure.
Pain never stops.
Someone you know.
Someone you know.
Someone you know.
Someone you know has lupus.
But there is hope. For information, contact the Lupus Foundation of America at 888-38-LUPUS or lupus.org.
You are listening to AM 920 WGNU.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters.
To use our power. Please do not beg hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and beautiful struggle.
Sisters.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609. That is the facts. If I may, could you just indulge me this morning? Could you just indulge me this morning? I want to, rather than start with something national this morning, I want to start with something local, because to me this is it's tied to so many national things. It is connected to so many national issues. It is a national thing. What this administration has been successful with is getting to people that have and getting them to invest in this administration. Getting to the haves, no, getting to the have-a-lots, or getting to the have-too-muches. And what is interesting is that all of the have-too-muches, the have-a-lots, the have more than anyone else's, the thing about them is that they are on the same page as this administration. They're on the same page. Their agendas are the same or similar enough to be at least kissing cousins. And the agenda is the same. The agenda is to it's twisted, and it is beautiful. It really is. It's a twisted, beautiful, beautiful thing, and it's a twisted, wicked thing. Their agenda is simple. Make everyone feel as if. Make everyone feel like they are a welfare mother in their reliance upon government. Make the average Joe or Josephine out there feel as if they are getting something that they're not entitled to or that they haven't paid for. When they expect their government to provide health care, make them feel like a welfare mama. Make them feel like a deadbeat dad. That's money that's really that you shouldn't be asking for, and if you're asking for it, you ain't no good. That's what America is being. That's the constant drumbeat. And I hear people who are not part of the have-a-lots or have-too-much. I've heard people that are part of the ain't-got-nothings let it come out their mouth. Well, you expect government to pay for that? Ain't that some stuff? It is a twisted, beautiful, amazing mindset that this administration, and now they've had help from generations before, but this administration has turned it into, or fine-tuned it into an art form. That those of us that are not part of the have too much or I got it alls, those folks have convinced the average Joe and Josephine that the government is not there to do anything for you. And if you does do something, feel guilty about it and feel like you ain't no good, feel like a welfare mama. what society says a welfare mother is, the negative stereotype of a welfare mother. Now, on the other hand, to the road dogs, to the have-a-lots, to the have-everythings, this administration has convinced, or they're clear, that the government is going to provide them with every nickel that they need, that they want, to become the business people that they want to. Ask Ross Perot where he would have been if he would have been a who wants to be a millionaire. Well, you get your hookup with the government, and that's how you become a millionaire. Ask Ross Perot if he could have been a millionaire if it wasn't for the government. Ask him, because the answer is no. And they make the rest of y'all feel like you ain't got nothing coming. You ain't got nothing coming. And that you shouldn't be feeling that the government is there to do anything for you. And that serves them well. But you know what? My government's supposed to do everything. I'm going to have my job. I'm not going to be sitting like these, like Kenny Boy Lay, and expecting the world to hand me stuff on a platter. I'm not trying to cheat my government out of anything, but I expect that the government that I pay taxes to do everything for its citizens. That's the relationship that we have. I do my part, and when I can't, you help me. Because we're all better off if we're all able to contribute in some manner, shape, or fashion. Now, having said that, I want to come home locally here for a second. I want you to know what's going on with the St. Louis Public Schools, and I want you to feel this. I want you to know the most extraordinary story that we broke on the wake-up call, the St. Louis Public Schools Watch, yesterday. And I want you to know why this upcoming election in April is so important for the St. Louis Public Schools. These are frightening times. The city of St. Louis, through Francis Slay, and the wildly incompetent dude that gets paid $25,000 a month to serve as superintendent for the St. Louis Public Schools, Craig Williams. They've hatched a plan, and they've hatched it while you sleep, just like they do in Washington, D.C. And they've hatched it with your tax dollars. And they've done the same twisted, brilliant, beautiful mind. I can't use the words that I want. They've taken advantage of your mind. To get you not to see what's going on. This administration in St. Louis with the school board right now is very Cheney-esque in its secrecy. Let me break it down for you so that it stays forever broke down, so that you understand what's happening in the St. Louis public schools and why this election in April is, if you have to go dig people up to go vote, then you do that. Because this is that important. Craig Williams, who gets paid $300,000, ain't from St. Louis, ain't never been a superintendent anymore, who is wildly incompetent and wildly inexperienced and wildly doesn't give a rat's patoot about our babies. I mean, it's breathtaking, his incompetence, his inexperience, and his contempt for our children in the city of St. Louis. It's breathtaking. Here's the plan, and it's a plan that has been hatched. It's a plan that's on paper. It's a plan that people are working on. It is a plan that has been completed, but in a very Cheney-esque move. Craig Williams has said, I'm not going to tell the citizens of the city of St. Louis until after the election that this is part of the strategic plan. Money has been spent. This is already in writing. Here's the plan, y'all. They are going to create a charter school district, which will have its own school board appointed by Francis Slay. And what does that mean for the city of St. Louis? Well, first of all, charter schools don't have to tell us anything about where their money is going. They're not subject to the same Sunshine Acts, Sunshine Rules as the St. Louis public schools are. Charter schools can get as much money from the St. Louis public schools as the St. Louis public schools want to give them. Charter schools can, for instance, they can close Metro down and make it a charter school tomorrow. They could close Soldan down and call it a charter school. What does that mean for the city of St. Louis? What does that mean for the children? It means that there will be a separate and unequal, separate by economics and separate by race, school district created in the city of St. Louis. And all of our other babies will be forced into classrooms. I mean, right now at Bunch Elementary School, children are not allowed to go to the bathroom. And I kid you not. Parents have brought notes to the principal saying, please let my child go to the bathroom. Bunch is a magnet school. It's a performing arts magnet school. What they are doing is trashing our district, making it, and this is the welfare mom piece, making it so bad, tearing apart the very fabric, the last remaining fabrics that are holding it together, pre-Roberti and Francis Slay and Darnetta Klingstell, Darnetta Shamel. It is pre-Jim Buford. Jim Slay. They are taking this district and trashing it out so that they can say to the world, look, we've tried everything. We gave them all this money. The only solution is to create a separate and unequal school district controlled by people. They could have people from St. Charles sitting on the school board that they've created. And none of us would have a damn thing to say about it. They could have as much money as the school board decides to give to them. They haven't. They are liars, this school board is, because this is a plan that's on paper that people are working on as we speak. They're putting the final touches to it. And they won't tell us because they know that their candidates won't be elected. The candidates, Jim Buford Slay knows about it. Darnetta Klingstell Shamel knows about it. Ron Jackson, and he's in his sober mind, knows about it. And the historian guy, he doesn't know the historical buildings and school buildings in the city of St. Louis, but he knows this is the plan. Archibald. They know this is the plan. This is the same way that they killed Homer G. Phillips Hospital, because Ben Shamo killed Homer G. Phillips Hospital. It's the same thing. You create this separate board. You create this board that has no oversight. And you carve out and you cherry pick and you widen up the school. How you get white folks to move in the city of St. Louis? How you do that? You create an entire charter district and say, look, we'll just let the other kids implode because we don't give a horse's patoot about them. We'll do what George W. Bush is doing right now. You know what George W. Bush is doing in Iraq? You know what the trillions of dollars of money that's they're spending in Iraq for reconstruction? You know what they're building? They're building prisons. They're taking the trillions of dollars. The only thing that's being reconstructed in Iraq right now is the reconstruction of prisons. That's what's happening in the city of St. Louis. They're going to turn our school district, the remaining pieces of our school district, into holding cells and prisons for our children to just, we'll take them right from, as soon as they get to junior high school, we'll just feed them right into the juvenile court system. And then get them into the jail system so we can get rid of them because we don't give a darn about them. That's what's happening in the city of St. Louis. That's what's happening with this school board. That's why this election is so important. That's why Darnetta Clingsdale should be run out of town on a rail, because of the crimes that they are committing against our children. That is the plan. It is on paper. It is done. That is what they are going to do if they win control of this school board in this election. It's a crime against God. It's a sin against God. And y'all better not let it happen. This election in April is the last dying breath of the St. Louis public schools. If they win this election, close the door, kiss it goodbye, because your babies will never be educated in the city of St. Louis again. Your babies will never be educated in the city of St. Louis again. They're going to take the money from the St. Louis, because that's what you can do with charter schools. You can take the money and pump it into the charter schools and do anything that you want to. And we can't stop the charter schools from doing anything outside of committing crimes against them. And I'm not advocating that, but that's the only thing that could be done. That would be horrible. There is nothing that you can do. There is nothing. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. I'm taking a break. I'll be back at you. You need to get to me.
Why don't we?
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Eastbound 44 at Bowles and 270 looks good. Northbound 55 at Richardson and 270, no problems reported. Northbound 270 at Gravoy, everything is running smoothly this hour. Eastbound 40 between the Bloom Bridge and 270 looks good. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way into 170, nothing to report there as well. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79, you've got slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh to 170, there is no problems to report this hour. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason looks good. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at 5570 split is on the move. Westbound 5570 at Illinois 203 and the Poplar Street Bridge, nothing to report there as well. Westbound 64, 25th and 5570 looks good. Westbound Martin Luther King from the Illinois Bank all the way to Laclede's Landing, there is a disabled vehicle, so expect some delays this hour. Eastbound Route 30 at Route NN and Route B, that is road construction reduced to one lane. And also, Shoto is closed from Vanaventer all the way to 39th to rebuild bridges and roadways. The eastbound exit from 64 on the Shoto is closed permanently. And Old Halls Ferry between Dunn and Whisper Lake Road, crews are working to widen the roadway this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash, 100% of the proceeds support health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today, because when you play, everybody wins. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Breezy, much cooler today, partly cloudy, high in the mid-50s. This evening, mostly clear, colder, with a low around 30. Friday, mostly sunny, with a high in the upper 40s. Friday evening, mostly clear, with a low around 30. And then on Saturday, partly cloudy skies, a high in the upper 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under clear skies, we have 45 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 46. It's a little breezy out there, so bundle up if you're heading out to the bus stop. That is a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Stay tuned for more news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. But up next, it's more of the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Radio is a very effective means of communication. Right now, thousands of people are hearing this message. Those same people could be hearing your message on WGNU right now. And each person who hears your ad is a potential customer. Is your business really strong enough that it can afford to pass up that many potential clients? To find out how affordable advertising on WGNU can help your business, call sales manager Brian Kay during regular business hours at 314-454-6660.
My grandpa said he had to do something very important.
Grandma had to go out, but just a little bit.
Grandpa said he won't be long.
When fall comes around, it's time to get out for your annual flu shot.
He'll be right back.
Nana always hurries home.
The CDC recommends that all seniors get a shot to protect against influenza.
I'm keeping Grandpa's favorite seat warm for him.
Because the flu can cause serious problems.
Grandma makes the best cookie. But don't tell Mom.
Each year, complications from the flu cause an average of 36,000 deaths.
Papa never misses lunch.
So be sure to get your shot soon.
When Grandpa gets back, we're gonna wrestle.
After all, it's important to a lot of people. Be smart. Be well. Get your flu shot.
Grandpa's home.
Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A public service message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
You're listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Africans chained to the slave ships, for the millions of scars on their backs and face by the bullwhip, for the millions who jumped overboard, for the blood that poured on the shores of North America, South America, Central America, and Europe. And each ripple in the ocean is a grave for an African who refused to be a slave. For the millions who cut the cane, picked the cotton, whose names have been forgotten, whose flesh has rotten with the trees they hung us from. Cut out our tongues, cut off our hands if we played the drums. For the millions, for the millions.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Albert, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you today?
I'm outstanding.
Good. Couple things. How can African Americans be aware of other places in the world to live besides America? And the reason I ask that is because I'm just an average person. I didn't know politics or anything like that until I started listening to your show about 6 years ago. And in case anybody wanted to know, I don't just listen to you and just go by what you say. I go and see things and research it and find out that 99.999% of the things you say are true. And I think that white people have total disrespect for African Americans, and I think that they will always have total disrespect for African Americans, and I don't think the system is going to ever, ever work for us fully. I think they're always going to give us trick fixes, if you know what I mean. And I want to know, you know, what can we do? I want to have an option to live somewhere else, and I'm not talking about Europe or nowhere like that. I mean somewhere where we are treated as equal and respectful human beings.
So your question is?
Where do you find out other places to live? You know, America's brainwashed.
Well, I think that it's, I think that what people need to do is they need to find a way to travel. You have to travel outside the confines of this country. There are lots of places to go. I can't direct you to any specific place except to say that I believe all people of African descent should go home. They should go to the continent. They need to be there, if for nothing else, just the empowering feeling that you got, like what Richard Pryor got when he went home, like what Dave Chappelle got when he went home. There's an indescribable feeling of connection, of place, of reason for being here when you're able to touch the ground of the continent of Africa. It's an amazing thing. I encourage everybody to find a way to get home.
Okay.
And to do that.
And it, for some reason, I don't know, I could be wrong, I feel like that if we did make a big move, black people, to go back to Africa or something, I believe that white people would, in our terms, player hate on that. In other words,
well, I'm not even interested in that conversation, Albert, because the fact of the matter is, and I know that your parents taught you this, my parents taught me this, you can't even think about or be concerned about anyone who is not speaking in your best interest. You can't let that weigh on you. You can't even put it out into the atmosphere. There will always be people that don't like what you're doing, but that can't even enter our mind about that. That's not even worthy of a discussion about someone who would say bad things about people they don't know anything about. Okay. That's not worthy of a conversation.
One more thing real quick, and then I'll get off there and listen. I was trying to explain to another talk show host yesterday when they were talking about putting all these people out of the hotels Katrina, and she asked me, well, when do you think is the deadline? I said, there is no deadline. You got people who have lost their house, their family.
Well, here's the point. When is the deadline or the repercussions for the cheating that Halliburton has done in its contracts in Iraq? Our government, the Pentagon, has said, despite the fact that the military auditors have audited the Halliburton contracts, have found over $300 million worth of overcharges, worth of not fulfilling the contract, and the Pentagon said pay them anyway. So if we can pay people trillions of dollars in contracts for hundreds of millions of dollars worth of jobs that they haven't done, then surely we can say to Americans that we will take care of you and protect you until we rebuild this city, because that's what America does. Surely America can do that. So the answer is that if we can pay hundreds of millions of dollars to people that have trillions of dollars for stuff they didn't do, then yes, we take care of Americans for as long as we need to. Got to roll. Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much to talk about it. And folks need to let go of the mentality. No, they need to get a mentality adjustment. I think that, my God, I think that what is right is I will look at a person who has a whole lot. I will go after them before I go after a person that doesn't have anything. If we are going to have a mindset of suspicion, I'm not going to have a mindset of suspicion about poor folks. I'm not. I am not going to have a mindset of suspicion about poor people. Because they can't defend themselves. I'm going to have a mind of suspicion about someone who wants something that has everything. or has a lot or is able to fight me back. Let's get it on. I'm not going after the what isn't there something in that book that a lot of y'all hold as very important? Isn't that Bible book about the weak and the meek and the defenseless, and we're not supposed to be going after them with no holds barred? Come on now. The people from New Orleans have lost everything. Army Corps of Engineers screwed up the levees. We need to take care of them. That's what your God says, right? Whew, you're on a wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. And thank you for the heads up on...
Isn't that awful?
Yeah, on what's about to happen in your school systems.
Isn't that awful?
Yes, it's awful, but it made me think of some other things that are important that you started off with early in your show. When they can make you believe
mm-hmm.
that what you have is no good.
That's right.
And then they convince
ill-gotten gain.
Yeah, they can get it anyway, but when they can convince others that you're getting it because they're paying for it,
mm-hmm.
it works two ways for them. And anything that's public, I think of public schools.
That's right.
They've taken care of all of us. They've taught us and them too. But now all of a sudden they're no more good.
That's
so
right.
Now we got to get for-profit schools.
That's right.
Same thing with public hospitals.
That's right.
The hospitals, you go there, you get taken care of, you pay when you can. But now they're no good, so
that's
we
right.
got four payoffs.
That's
seven.
Right. Isn't that something? You're right.
Everything.
Tell it.
And then
tell
they
it.
Make you think it's no good.
Tell it.
And if it's good for those poor people, then you're paying for it.
That's right.
So then they get rid of them.
That's
and they
right.
did it with public utilities.
Yes, they did.
They did it with public water systems.
Mm.
They did it with public housing.
That's right.
When you can convince
that's right.
people
that's
that
right.
have no place else to live,
that's right.
that where they are living
tell
is
it.
No good.
Tell it.
And they start yelling, get rid of public housing,
that's
and
right.
they got nowhere to go.
That's right.
And then they make all the money for their brothers
that's
and
right.
uncles and sisters
that's
on
right.
public on Section 8. And then they get rid of Section 8, and tell you got to go get one of these free houses with no money down. You just pay interest for the next 50 years.
And here's the other piece. They tell you that public housing is no good, but yet they use public TIF money to build all these condos for other folks. So they live in public housing too.
Yes, and been using block grant
that's
money
right.
for years.
That's what I'm talking
TIF
about.
To give them what they want.
Bob,
and you go on from public to public transportation. Get rid of the buses.
That's right.
Then you got to get a cab.
That's right.
Or buy you a car.
That's right.
You know, it's just public highways, not a toll road.
That's right.
But you know, it's just an ongoing thing. Social Security is no good because it lasts for lifetime.
There you go.
And but they all had Social Security, and it's the best thing going, and it's the only thing that guarantees you a check until you die.
Tell
and
them.
I just don't know. They cherry pick what they want.
That's right.
And this capitalistic America is more capitalistic than it is racist. But put them two together, along with this globalization of outsourcing all your jobs, and we are in big, big trouble. Even the garbage pickup used to be free. Outsource it.
Okay, got a robot.
Okay,
but
Liz,
you dead
thank
on.
You again and
you're dead
stay
on.
On.
All right now.
All right.
We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown, the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Tell it. Tell it.
Listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety in the 6:45 segment next Thursday morning.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else will you get your big screen televisions, your little screen televisions, your DVDs, your treadmills, your washers, your dryers? I'm telling you, you will go to the only full-service Sears in the city of St. Louis, right there at Union and Natural Bridge, the best service in town. Jerome Williams will treat you like a king, a queen. I know you're thinking about mowing your lawn. You're thinking about digging around in the ground. Spring's coming. Get your tools. Get your lawnmowers. Get it all at Union and Natural Bridge. Sears, get your shop on. I'm Liz Brown. When you go, tell them I told you so. Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
You're listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I love you.
Thank you.
Say hi to you and your listeners. What is when I turned the radio on, you were talking about Africa, but I guess you guys were talking about the public school situation.
What comment did you want to make, Orlando?
Well, I really wasn't sure what you were talking about, but I thought you were talking about Africa. And I just wanted to say that basically it seemed like they're making Africa like it's a really negative place. In the community, some of the folks that I talk to, a lot of them want to go to England and all these other different places. But it's like, how is it that we don't want to go to Africa when you got all these other folks that's not really from Africa and you can't get them up out of there?
I think that far more people of African descent want to go to Africa than what we know. A lot of people have never been outside the city of St. Louis, haven't even been to Chicago.
Right.
So, I mean, that there is a mentality of people not really having an interest in traveling outside of, outside of the places where they live. It is an energy that we need to teach people. We need to teach our children. We need to let people know to travel and understand that people that live outside of America in Europe, they travel to other countries all the time because other countries are 100, 200, 300 miles away. So traveling to other countries is a natural thing. In the United States, we're so cloistered. Our nearest neighbors are Canada and Mexico. That's it.
Right.
You know, so there isn't a energy to get out beyond the bounds of the United States. And it's a process of educating people. I talk to people and they say they want to go to Africa all the time. All the time. All right, Orlando, thank you.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz. How you doing? This is Jesse Todd.
I'm outstanding.
I would like to make a comment about the public school system. I'm a teacher anyway. I think this election coming up is the most important election I've ever participating in. So what it's going to do is going to increase the class size. It's going to take away kids. It's racist. Let me first make that statement. And then it's going to increase its class size by sucking the money out of the public school system. It's going to also lower teacher salaries and drive some of the teachers away, and we're going to have subs and other people who don't want to. We're going to be a training ground for other districts because people are going to be leaving the system And it's going to also lower the contributions to the retirement system. So this system, what they are doing is going to destroy the whole system that's set up. Now, and eventually, as you said, their main objective is to destroy public education, period.
And I think that we have to really be specific, Jesse, with the creation of a charter school district. That has to be the canary in the mine. That has to be the statement that people, that you're telling people, because that will absolutely, without question, hesitation, or pause, destroy our district. And that single act, and it's already on paper. It is already on paper. There are already people working on this. It's done. They are going to implement this if this board is elected. And that should be the scariest thing to every teacher. Everything aside, that's because the creation of a separate charter school with a separate school board that none of us can get to, and the charter schools have failed in the past, but they're going to get all the money that they want to put into them. That thing... Everything that you're talking about, overcrowding and all that stuff, that's minuscule compared to the creation of this charter school district, because when that is created, everything that you're experiencing right now will quadruple in its awfulness.
And I know Peter Downs is an excellent person, and I've talked with Donna Jones, and I tell you, we need some new school board members on the...
See, I don't know anything about Donna Jones, talked to her, never had any contact with her, don't know anything about her. So that's my dilemma. I don't know her. I do not, and I need to know her before I can say anything about her.
And I certainly am going to call and ask her to meet you, because
she's
a dynamic parent. She has kids in school.
Okay.
I hope she live up to everything the potential she has, because I tell you, she's dynamic.
No.
But anyway, yes, but I certainly think, I respect the fact that you certainly need to meet her, and she needs to meet you too, because...
It's interesting that I haven't.
I
got a roll. 454-0400 is my phone number. D.
Top of the morning to you, Dr. Brown.
Rest of the day to you.
Thank you. And to add to Bob's most astute observation...
Oh, whoa, wasn't he dead on?
With kids... being King Slade's role model, from forced participation in charter schools with attempted voter irrelevance from the administration of Slade and Bush with the new jails, what I'm seeing is a legalized international slave labor. People better wake up.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, I would like to comment on the public school situation from this perspective. Now, there's so much that the media could be reporting on as far as the corruption and also the criminality that's going on in this St. Louis public schools. I mean, I'm talking about from the perspective of the board, St. Louis Public School Board, and Francis Slay and Craig Williams. But yet and still, the media would rather focus on a school district that's running very well, accredited, and have some of the most... the tools to teach children that you can get, and that I'm talking about the Riverview Gardens School District. They'll take their time to focus on a school district that's running well when they could be focusing on the St. Louis Public School that's in turmoil. Thank you very much.
My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me. We have Eye on the Lou coming at you in the next hour. Don't want to miss that. Irene J. Smith in the house. I'll be back. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If
stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that, the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger.
Terrorists and killers are not going to prevent me from going to Pakistan.
President Bush with a warning to whoever was behind today's deadly bombing in Karachi. An ambulance races to the scene, which is near the U.S. consulate. Four people were killed, including an American diplomat. But some are saying that the timing of this attack is something to consider, especially with al-Qaeda gaining strength in Pakistan. Officials say a man named Mighty Rahman is someone to watch and someone to fear.
It's surprising to many that Pakistan would talk so openly about the fact that a Pakistani is planning a possible attack on the U.S. They say the attack planning is in the early stages. There's no specific target or timing, but clearly something's in the work based on interrogation and intelligence Pakistani officials are picking up.
ABC News Chief Investigative Correspondent Brian Ross. The president is now in India, where he announced a major shift in nuclear policy toward that nation.
President Bush called it an historic agreement, but conceded it'll be a tough sell for lawmakers in both nations.
It's not an easy job for the prime minister to achieve this agreement. I understand. It's not easy for the American president to achieve this agreement, but it's a necessary agreement.
For India, the deal marks the end of an era of sanctions stemming from its efforts to develop a nuclear bomb. U.S. critics say it rewards a nation that refuses to sign the non-proliferation treaty, and Indian critics worry about meddling in its nuclear affairs. Pam Coulter, ABC News, with the president in New Delhi.
A new videotape is getting a lot of attention. It apparently shows President Bush and Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff being told in no uncertain terms that Hurricane Katrina could be a real problem before the storm even hit. Here's ABC's Luis Schiavone.
On the tape, National Hurricane Center Director Max Mayfield advises the president and other officials that New Orleans levees could well be at risk. Now ousted FEMA Director Michael Brown expressed concern about the structural integrity of the Superdome, and President Bush advised state officials the government was fully prepared.
ABC News.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
And here they are, all the way from Liverpool.
Thousands marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASD and SIPC.
This new Medicare business was pretty confusing to me. I was in Walmart the other day and asked the pharmacist about it. She told me Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies accept all Medicare plans. I just showed her my Medicare prescription drug card, and she filled all of my prescriptions. No hassle, no problem. It was just that easy. I've got better things to do than deal with confusing prescription details, so from here on in, I'm going to Walmart or Sam's Club pharmacy for my Medicare prescriptions.
It's not just the U.S. that's dealing with an expanding population. Weight-wise, now there's a run on girdles in Japan, but ABC's Joan Bennett tells us it's the guys who are buying them.
The new line of industrial-strength underwear that flattens the tummy and lifts the hips proved so popular when it was introduced last month on a trial basis. Stores in Tokyo sold out. A spokeswoman for a leading Japanese underwear maker says men are so much more fashion-conscious now. They're paying attention to the contours of their body and their silhouette, just like women. The underwear comes in two flattering styles, the long girdle from navel to knees, and the hip hugger to be worn with low-rise pants. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Consumer Reports magazine's list of its best new automobiles is out, and for the first time, every model is made by a Japanese company. The Honda Civic, best sedan, Toyota's Highlander Hybrid, best SUV. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour.
In the news this Thursday, four students are recovering from minor injuries after someone fired on their school bus yesterday. The children were on their way home from school yesterday afternoon when someone fired a pellet gun into the bus. Three students were injured by broken glass and a fourth suffered a bump on the head. Police took at least one juvenile into custody for the shooting. There is no word yet on whether charges will be filed against the surviving driver in a deadly crash in Jefferson County. 34-year-old Rachel Cates was killed Tuesday night when a Pontiac Sunfire collided head-on with her car on Highway 30 in Dittmer. Cates' 9-year-old daughter and the driver of the Sunfire were both airlifted to hospitals with serious injuries. Police say the driver of the Sunfire was traveling at a high rate of speed and driving erratically before crossing the center line. Finally this hour, the man known as Donald Trump's first apprentice is engaging in a first-of-its-kind initiative to help military men and women. Billy Proceda, the managing partner for Pavilion Apartments in Maryland Heights, introduced the Helping Heroes program yesterday, which will provide apartments at a 50% discount for the first 6 months to active-duty military and their families.
A friend of mine is a Marine, and we were talking about, you know, when the military come back, they're so well trained, yet they need housing, they need jobs. And I said, you know, I got a lot of apartments, so why don't we do a program where we give these folks a helping hand?
The program will also offer a 20% discount for the remainder of their lease, along with resume writing assistance and job interviews with major companies such as Edward Jones and Monsanto. Call Pavilion Apartments for more information at 314-878-1115. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash. 100% of proceeds supports health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today, because when you play, everybody wins. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNE. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Granite Works. Westbound 64 from 159 to 157 over on Illinois. There's an accident on the right shoulder in Fairview Heights. There's about a mile and a half jam. Westbound 64 from Old Collinsville to 159. Look for a disabled vehicle. Right lane is blocked and traffic is backed up through Highway 50. Eastbound 44 from Bowles all the way into 270 looks good. Northbound 55 from Richardson to 270, everything is on the move. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and Big Bend, look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Ballast to Lindbergh, look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, look for heavy volume going on this morning. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, everything is moving slow this morning. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, expect slow traffic this hour. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue all the way into the 5570 split looks good. Westbound Martin Luther King Bridge from the 5570 split into Laclede's Landing, everything is slow this morning. Eastbound 30 at NN, look for road construction having one lane closed. And Shodo is closed from Vanaventer to 39th to rebuild the bridges and roadways. The eastbound exit from 64 onto the Shodo exit, the Shodo Bridge is closed permanently. Northbound Route 13 at Highway 15, there's road construction, intermittent daytime closures from Rogers all the way to the 13-15 split that's over on the east side. And eastbound Illinois 158 at 64, look for bridge maintenance operations having lane closures going on there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Granite Works. Granite Works just got a new shipment of beautiful granite, exotic new colors like Safari Brown as low as $38 a square foot. Visit today or call 862-6300. That's 862-6300. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, look forward to breezy, much cooler, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. For this evening, look forward to mostly clear skies, colder with a low around 30. Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 40s. Friday evening, mostly clear with a low around 30. Then on Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 45 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 46, both under sunny skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Districting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls, battles in Jefferson City.
Welcome, 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 welcome to Eye on the Lou. This is Liz Brown. My goodness gracious, every Thursday I am joined by Irene J. Smith, Irene J. Smith, and we talk about all of the issues that are concerning our community, our world, Eye on the Lou. And I must say that this is the election season. This is the election season, and we have much to talk about election-wise. There are so many contested, so many interesting, so many surprising, so many things that are happening election-wise with regard to the state of Missouri, the city of St. Louis. So we need to talk about those things this morning, and we are going to do that. Irene J. Smith, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hi, Liz, and a listening audience.
Very good, very good. We have lots of stuff to talk about this morning, lots of election stuff to talk about. Let's get to some of the stuff that is going on here. You made a trip to Jefferson City earlier this week.
Yes, on Tuesday I went up. I went up with Jamila Nasheed, who was filing for a state rep in the 60th district. And while I was up there, of course, I was gathering information on what was going on and some of the other races. And I think probably one of the most watched races in the city of St. Louis will be the 4th senatorial seat. And some interesting developments out of there.
And I think that there was a big surprise of a filing in that particular race.
Oh, yes, it was. We walked into the Secretary of State's office, and first I saw Bill Purdy and his wife, Mary Beth, so I thought maybe one of them was filing for office. And then here comes Brother Kenneth Jones, the former alderman of the 22nd Ward, informing me that he's running for the Senate seat in the 4th District.
Huh? Huh?
Don't say huh. Your mama told you not to do that.
Nuh-uh. She said, if you don't understand, you say, huh? Well, what's going on?
Kenneth Jones has filed for the Senate seat in the 4th Senatorial District, and that makes it really interesting. I mean, it spices it up even a little more. Of course, it's probably not a spice that a lot of people want. But you've got
let's talk about the people not wanting that, and let's talk about the ramifications of that. Let's let people know the flavor of the race, who's in the race right now.
Exactly. You have Amber Barkins, presently a state rep, Yafit El-Amin, in fact, my state rep, who's running for the Senate seat. You have Gumbaro from South St. Louis, and you have Jeff Smith.
So we had two whites, two blacks, two women, two men.
Right.
That was the dynamic, and it was kind of people were talking about this race prior to this because it is going to be interesting because we have an equal number of whites, and we have whites that are, from what I've been told about Gumbaro, he's in it to win it. From what I've been told about Jeff Smith,
he's in it to win it.
He wants it too. And then the two African women, they want it too.
That's right. And then you have Kenneth Jones walking up in it.
So I guess the question is why would Kenny Jones be not state rep seat but a Senate seat?
Well, if you listen to what he says he's in it to win it. The following day he was in a fundraiser at Mike McMillan's, and he was
like...
It
wasn't his fundraiser, but somebody else's.
Right, it was someone else's fundraiser, and he's making the rounds, and he's saying that he's in it to win it. Some people are saying, this is about payola, and this is about payback. So,
payola for who? Payback for what?
Well, payola for him and payback for Yafit El-Amin.
Oh, so it's personal.
Yeah, I mean personal. And that, I was having a discussion, as a matter of fact, with Luther Barkins yesterday, and he asked me, what do you think about the level of black politics? And he was saying, these dynamics, with all these people, running. I mean, people have a right to run,
And, of course, he has a daughter in it.
And he has a daughter in it. Mm-hmm. Basically, one other person that I talked to about, they said they may as well all go home.
What does that mean?
And he was referring to, this particular brother was referring to the African-Americans that are in the race. Because right now we have three African-Americans in the race. We have two Caucasians in the race. Even though some people will say, Gumbaro, he's Italian. But
he's a white folk.
Okay.
We have white and black.
Okay. And this is the city of St. Louis. And unfortunately, we still vote along racial lines in the city of St. Louis for better or worse.
worse, usually a lot of times for worse. So in this situation, people are saying, oh, nobody's going to vote for Kenneth Jones. But the fact of the matter is, there are still some people that happen to like Kenneth Jones, and that he certainly could draw some votes. And
what would that do to an election that is going to be a split in the way that this is going to be?
I think that it clearly would give an advantage to the candidates from South St. Louis.
So the white candidates.
That's right.
And I guess that the question, when we have to talk about this particular seat, too, and we have to talk about the representation of people of African descent, right now this particular seat is being held by?
It's being held by Pat Daugherty.
And it was held prior to that by?
Blacks.
By people of African descent.
Exactly, always.
Okay, always. So this is a seat that is very important in terms of the representation of all of the citizens of the city of St. Louis.
Exactly. It's very important. And you know, one thing about the present senator from that seat, he's did a lot of good legislation that has impacted social services and for the benefit of low-income people. This is going to be it's going to be a long, hot summer.
And let's also talk about this, too, in terms of, because we have Mike McMillan saying that, you know, he had dibs on the race in the citywide race, and that Maida Coleman shouldn't get in that race because it was promised to me. We have that dynamic going on. Let's talk about the dynamic of the experience of the people that are running for this senatorial seat. Jeff Smith has never been elected to anything. Is that correct?
To my knowledge, he hasn't. To my knowledge, in the city of St. Louis, he has never been elected to anything.
Had never been elected to anything. And Gumbaro. He's been a state rep. So we have, at least he has that experience. And we have Amber Boykins, and we have Yaphet Elamine.
Both of which who have been state reps. Yaphet also has been a committee person for some time.
So we have people that, you know, I have
experience
and made their bones. I mean, that they've been in public service before. And we have Kenny Jones,
Who has been a member of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen.
Okay, so the least experienced person in the race in terms of public service and in terms of electability, or being elected before, is Jeff Smith.
Exactly.
So
there are many people that think that Jeff Smith, is leading. It's my understanding some unofficial polls were done, and that Jeff Smith is leading with a slight edge over Yaphet Elamine.
How crazy is that? How crazy is a person that has never been elected to anything leading in a race? And how comfortable should people feel about a person that's... Because, I mean, we're not talking about a state rep seat. We're talking about a Senate seat. A person... So there's a big learning curve there in terms of what you're going to be able to deliver, what you're going to be able to do. That's kind of scary.
It's tremendous. And a lot of people, you know, I know in this age of big money and political races, you know, Jeff Smith, whether we like it or not, had a tremendous grassroots campaign when he was running for the congressional seat. And a lot of people feel that basically the seat was stolen from him, that he won it. That's going to play into it. He still has those people
absolutely
in place, and that's going to play into it whether we like it or not.
And the other piece of it is, though, when Jeff Smith was running for that congressional seat, who was he running against? In a congressional seat, oftentimes the energy is purely partisan in terms of those horrible, horrible Republicans, got to get those Republicans out, got to put a Democrat in type of a thing. I think that in many ways in people's minds, it's because Washington, D.C. is so far away that it makes, they would rather send somebody with no experience to Congress because all politics is local.
That certainly plays in, but in his seat, Liz, he was in the primary. This was a primary election that mm-hmm. Jeff Smith ran in. He was running against other Democrats. And the fact of the matter is he had a tremendous grassroots campaign. And that has not been dismantled. Apparently, he has been keeping in contact with those people. I can tell you this. Monday night, when we were having the town hall meeting on the Covenant with Black America at Kinley Temple, Jeff Smith, some of his campaign people were there.
Mm-hmm, but Jeff Smith wasn't.
Jeff Smith wasn't. Okay. I mean, let me say this. I did not see Jeff Smith. Okay. And I was trying to, because, of course, and with such a sea of beautiful African-American people there, obviously a Caucasian stood out.
Would have been easy to see. And that... It's going to be a very interesting.
It's going to be a very, very interesting
and very important race.
Very important race. And, you know, I know that many people have been saying, you know, we need to have one sole candidate from North St. Louis. Well, this is an opportunity for the community to come together and say, look, somebody got to go. Mm-hmm. You know, if we have any chance of reclaiming this seat, someone has to go.
But doesn't the entrance of Kenny Jones make that dynamic even more difficult for somebody to decide to go? Because Kenny ain't going. Kenny ain't going.
Yeah. As he told me yesterday, I mean Tuesday, when he was surrounded by, as I said, you know, I still need to find out, you know, why Bill Purdy was there. I guess he wanted to go up to see who was filing, but I saw him with Kenny and his wife and one of his coalition of black trade unionist members and another sister who has been very active in the 22nd Ward. And he basically said, I'm in this to win it. I'm not going nowhere. I'm campaigning. You see, I got my, he had his maps. He said, you see, I have my maps. And I'm getting ready to hit the campaign trail as soon as I get back to St. Louis.
These are, what's the word I'm looking for, scary times. These are very scary times that we have just such a...
But what's interesting is the response that people make to when they find, you know, they would tell, you know, I called people on the way back and I said, you know, guess who's in the senatorial seat? And, of course, once I told people that he was in, and folks, you know, it's unfortunate, but the immediate response is people start laughing, and then they just start shaking their heads saying, you know, Grandma,
You know, and the people that I've talked to are saying things like, this has got to be a plant. This has got to be an act to try and just give away the race to somebody else, you know, because why are you in it? Why are you in this?
I mean, most people are saying that it's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. You know, they go from, I mean, the response, and I'm being very honest about this. The initial response is people say, you know, we say, you lying, you know. And the next response is people just bust out laughing, and then people just get real kind of a little melancholy and just start shaking their head and saying,
It's going to be a very interesting race. And when does that duel come out?
Well, the filing deadline, I believe, is March the 28th.
And who has filed thus far?
Thus far, we have five candidates. We have Yaphet El-Amin, Representative Yaphet El-Amin, Representative Amber Barkins, Kenneth Jones, Gamboyo, and Jeff Smith.
Okay, and before we get to some more of these races, let's talk about one of our sponsors, the Senior Center. The Senior Center, San Francisco Temple Multiplex. I'm telling you, you can exercise 3 days a week. They give you outings all around the city of St. Louis, monthly screening. They have guest speakers, arts and crafts, free hot lunches, much, much, much more. Where's the Senior Center located? 5341 Emerson. You can call them at 383-4863. That's 383-4863. Ask to speak to Ms. Yvonne Henderson. The Senior Center hours are from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. You want a cool place to hang out for the seniors? Get on over to San Francisco Temple Multiplex Senior Center at 5341 Emerson. The number there, 383-4863. Ask to speak to Yvonne Henderson. 454-0400 is our phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to us. You can also email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. And don't forget, if you have some kind of tip, some kind of juicy bit of information for Word on the Street, real easy to get that info to us. Email us at wordonthestreet@lizbrown.com. That's wordonthestreet. at LizBrown.com. Irene, so what are some of these other races that we need to be taking a look at out here as we get closer?
Oh,
and closer?
Man, I guess we go up, and you know the 57th seat is up because Yaphet Elamine has filed for the senatorial seat, and her husband, Talib Dean Elamine, has filed for that seat. And Joe Palm. Mm-hmm. So as I walked up, because at some point it was rumored that I was running for the 57th seat. And so when I saw Joe Palm, I said, oh, have you been over? I haven't been over to file yet. Mm-hmm. But Joe Palm has filed for that seat and Talib Dean Elamine. And that's real interesting because when Yaphet Elamine ran, she certainly had at least the support of Congressman Lacey Clay. And this situation is going to be quite interesting. Of course, Joe Palm comes out of the 26th Ward. He's the committee man for the 26th Ward, as Talib Dean Elamine, as a result of being appointed by Yaphet Elamine, is the committee man of the 1st Ward. So it's going to be very interesting to see if there's anyone else. I think it's being rumored that there may be a third candidate in that race. But it's going to be interesting to see who Congressman Clay, Lacey Clay, supports. Many believe that Joe Palm would not be in the race without the blessings of Congressman Clay.
Blessings is different than money. We got to see, you know, what that turns out to be.
Yeah, it's going to be quite interesting. I can't exactly recall at this time what portion of the 26th Ward is in the district. A nice portion of it is in the district. I do recall, I believe, the whole 22nd Ward is in the district. So it's my understanding that there may be a candidate coming out of the 22nd Ward in this race. Mm.
Kenny Jones running for that one, too?
Now, maybe it'll be a J.O. Zier. I don't know.
We got to take a break, though, folks. I'm talking with Irene J. Smith. This, of course, is, what is it, Irene?
I on the loop.
That's right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Stay with us, folks.
After the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Westbound 64 at 59, 159 and 157. There's an accident on the right shoulder in Fairview Heights. Expect delays. Westbound 64 from 50, Highway 50 all the way to 159. Look for no problems to report there. However, there is a disabled vehicle in the right lane and traffic is back up on 50. Eastbound 44 from Bowles 270 looks good. Northbound 55 from Richardson 270, no problems to report. Northbound 270 from Gravois to 44, look for slow traffic this hour. Westbound 270 at Illinois 203 and Chain of Rocks Bridge, look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Ballas to Lindbergh, look for heavy volume going on there as well. Eastbound 40 from Clarkson all the way into Mason Road, look for heavy volume there. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley, no problems there. Westbound 270 from 367 to West Florissant, look for slow traffic. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB, it is slow. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow approaches there as well. And westbound 64 at the 5570 split, expect delays. Martin Luther King, westbound from 5570 split to Laclede's Landing, is on the move. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash, 100% of the proceeds support health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today, because when you play, everybody wins. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, breezy, much cooler, partly cloudy, a high in the mid-50s this evening, mostly clear, colder with a low around 30. Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 40s. Friday evening, mostly clear with a low around 30. Then on Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the lower 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 45 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 46 under breezy conditions. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Up next is more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call and Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
It's time to talk about one of the sponsors for Eye on the Lou, Hood Goods. We're talking about women and men's clothing. It's the flyest place to go. Where are they located? At 121 Bell Fountain. That's Bell Fountain and Parker. They're open Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Friday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 8:30. Sunday, 12 to 6. That means 7 days a week. They carry all kinds of fine clothing. Dickies for men and women. Vibes for men, women. Apple bottles. Echo Red Girl Bod. Fitted hats, shoes. Timberland t-shirts. They have this wonderful t-shirt sale going on. 5 for $20. You need to give them a call at 438-8400. That's 438-8400. We're talking Hood Goods. They're located at 121 Bell Fountain. Well, 12100 Bell Fountain. They're at Bell Fountain and Parker. Check them out.
Prescription drug benefits. What does it mean for you? I'm Senator Bob Dole, and on January 1st, 2006, all Medicare beneficiaries, regardless of income, will have drug coverage. Explore your options now so you can take full advantage of this program. Enrollment begins November 15th. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit www.medicare.gov to get all the facts.
This message is endorsed by Easter Seals, providing services for children and adults with disabilities.
You're looking for a place for your senior, for you as a senior to go and to hang out? Why don't you go on over to San Francisco Temple Multiplex? That's right, the Senior Center at 5341 Emerson. Their number is 383-4863. Table tennis, exercise 3 days a week. They do outings all around the city of St. Louis, monthly screenings, health screenings, guest speakers, arts and crafts, games, free hot lunch, billiards, much more. Seniors, you want a place to hang out and have a good time? Get on over to the San Francisco Temple Multiplex Senior Center at 5341 Emerson, 383-4863. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Give them a call at 383-4863. Ask to speak to Yvonne Henderson. That's 383-4863, San Francisco Temple Multiplex Senior Center. Check them out.
Temperature outside starts to dip. The ASPCA reminds you to think about your pet's safety and recommends the following guidelines to protect your companion animals. Antifreeze, even in very tiny doses, is a lethal poison for dogs and cats. Unfortunately, because of its sweet taste, animals are attracted to it. Be sure to thoroughly clean up any spills from your vehicle. Call your veterinarian or the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center at 1-888-4-ANI-HELP if you suspect your animal has been poisoned. If you have a short-haired breed, consider getting her a warm coat or sweater with a high collar or turtleneck. Look for one that covers the dog from the base of the tail on top to the belly underneath. While this may seem like a luxury, it is a necessity for many.
Never leave your dog or cat alone in a car during the cold weather. A car can act as a refrigerator in the winter, holding in the cold. Your companion animal could freeze to death. Visit www.aspca.org for more information.
If you want an opportunity to plug in and to participate, why don't you come to the town hall meeting that is being put on by the National Forum of Black Public Administrators, and that's in conjunction with the University of Missouri-St. Louis Associated Black Collegians. Town hall meeting, the role of minorities in government and business. That's Wednesday, March 22nd, from 7:30 to 9 p.m. at the University of Missouri, the Millennium Center. Maxine Waters is going to be speaking. I'm going to be speaking. I'm going to be on the panel. And Senator Rita Days of the 14th Senatorial District. It's a town hall meeting. We're calling you all out to come on out and to talk. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, myself, and Rita Hurd-Day. She's going to be there as well, 7:30 to 9 p.m., and check us out. It's free. It's free. We need you. Come on out to the University of Missouri Millennium Center Century Room, 7:30 to 9 p.m., Wednesday, March 22nd, a town hall meeting, the role of minorities in government and business. Let's talk about it.
Radio is a very effective means of communication. Right now, thousands of people are hearing this message. Those same people could be hearing your message on WGNU right now. And each person who hears your ad is a potential customer. Is your business really strong enough that it can afford to pass up that many potential clients? To find out how affordable advertising on WGNU can help your business, call sales manager Brian Kay during regular business hours at 314-454-6660.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou. Eye on the Lou. I'm here with Irene J. Smith, and we're talking about the races that are happening here. What we got? What we got?
Oh, well, my. We need to talk about the 60th District, because that's a very interesting one. We've got four candidates there. We've got Robert Bartlett. We got Sean A. Sims, the husband of Amber Barkins, who is running. We have Jamila Nasheed. And we have another alderperson that's running for... Former alderperson that's running for a state rep seat. We have Sharon Tyus.
Another one of these, you know, at these Kenny Jones moments where we have somebody jumping into the race that you don't expect to get into the race.
Well, now for the 60th District, we anticipated that Sharon Tyus would file for the 60th District. We haven't talked about it on the show, but many of us who have been following this race and primarily working with Jamila Nasheed, we anticipated that former Alderwoman Sharon Tyus would
But I mean, most
race.
Folks out there, this is
right.
this is a surprise. I mean,
this is a surprise.
We're not talking about inside the Beltway. We're talking about the average folk out there. Folks don't
surprising.
Know.
Surprising. Yeah. Very surprising, you know. And I looked up and I saw Robert Bartlett, who is a former president of the Bus Drivers Union, and he drives the Lee bus, okay. So I said, oh, he's driving right through his district every day
mm-hmm.
as a bus driver. That's interesting. Sean Sims, you know, that's Amber Borkin's husband. Nice young man, you know, I don't know who knows him. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he is very much interested in development, but now apparently he's interested in politics.
And again, we talked a little bit about this before, about this whole fiefdom thing that appears to be developing, that people want... Like it's a family business almost, you know.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have talked about that. They've talked about it and talking about the...
Because we have Amber and her husband running for... Amber running for Senate, her husband running for state rep. We have Yaphet running for Senate, her husband running for state rep.
That's exactly it. And then when you look at it, these are both individuals. You know, they're both fine young men, but for the most part... Their involvement with politics has come as a result of working with their wives, mm-hmm. so to speak. You know, they haven't been out there individually. Although, you know, Talib Deen El Amin, of course, is the committeeman of the...
But that's only recent.
That's only very recent. You know, and he was appointed. He wasn't elected.
There
so, of course, he's a new, a novice to this as well as Sean Sims. Interesting, Bob Bartlett previously was elected as a state rep, did not hold the seat long because Amber Borkins defeated him and took the seat. Jamila Nasheed hasn't ran for public office, but certainly has been out there involved in the community, up on issues from minority participation to, you know, the ABC propositions, being involved in that. So she certainly has been active. Former Alderwoman Sharon Tyus, certainly a seasoned legislator from the Board of Aldermen, knowledgeable. She's a lawyer, you know. So that's going to be an exciting race.
It's going to be a very, very,
that's going to be a very exciting race.
Interesting one.
Man, U.S. Senate?
Yeah.
Want to talk a little bit?
Let's talk a little bit about the U.S. Senate race. And that one is a little further down the line.
Yes, it is.
Because the races that we're talking about, that we have just been talking about, are going to be taking place. Those battles are going to be waged in, the final battle is going to be waged in August.
That's right. For the most part, the elections that we've been talking about thus far, you know, the Democratic primary is going to determine who will occupy that seat. Now, of course, with the U.S. Senate seat, that's totally different, you know.
And you know what? Let's hold off on that. Let's hold off on talking because we need to take a break. But before we take a break, I want to talk about one of our sponsors here for a little bit of clothes. Let's talk about some hood goods. Let's talk about some hood goods. One of our sponsors here for Eye on the Loo. Hood Goods. They're located at 12100 Bell Fountain. That's Bell Fountain and Parker Road. They're open Monday through Sunday. Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Friday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 8:30. Sunday, 12 to 6. They carry all kinds of clothing. Dickies for men, Vibes, women, Apple Bottoms, Echo Red Girl Bod, fitted hats, shoes, Timberlands, t-shirts, big tees, all kinds of stuff, thermals, shoes. They have a great deal going on t-shirts. You need to give them a call at 438-8400. That's 438-8400. Hood Good, the funkiest, the most fly. This is where you need to take your babies to shop. Get on over to Hood Good at 12100 Bell Fountain. That's Bell Fountain and Parker. Check them out. Tell them that you heard about it here on, what is that, Irene?
Eye on the Loo.
All right. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. We'll be back after this. Stay with us.
Been listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
The global news update for the 7:45 segment of this hour can be heard in its entirety next Thursday in the 7:45 element.
The American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, I'm Dr. Tom Shives. In the movies, pratfalls are a common way to get a laugh, but in real life, falling down is no laughing matter. Every year, more than 730,000 people over age 65 are treated for falls related to stairs, bathtubs, furniture, and carpeting. Here are some tips to keep you on your feet. Use good lighting in your home. Don't place loose area rugs at the bottom or top of stairs, and put treads on each bare wood step. Install grab bars on bathroom walls near the toilet and bath or shower. Clear any clutter or electrical cords from the floors and watch out for pets that can trip you up. And if you can't stand on one foot for more than 5 seconds, try balance strengthening exercises such as Tai Chi. These tips can help you cut your risk of falling and injuring yourself. For more information, visit the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons online at aaos.org.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
That's right. Where else, where else, where else are you going to get your big screen television, your little screen televisions, your washers, your dryers, your DVD players, everything you need to run your house, everything you need to take care of your outside of your house? You need to get on over at Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Jerome Williams is the best customer service in town. All kinds of great deals going on at Sears right now. Get your weekend shop on with the only full-service Sears in the city of St. Louis. Where? At Union and Natural Bridge. Get on over to Sears. Get your shop on. I'm Liz Brown. When you get there, tell them I told you to.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Word on the street. He said, she said. The word on the street.
Girl, did you hear about
the word on the street?
Man, did you know? The word on the street.
Word on the street. Word on the street. Word on the street. We started to talk a little bit about the senatorial race. Let's talk about some of the word on the street of the senatorial race. We're talking about Claire McCaskill and Jim Talent. There's a big deal thing coming up. I believe Barack Obama is coming into town on behalf of Claire McCaskill. There's a fundraiser. And murmurings and mumblings and grumblings and attitude from some black folks out there about the event and about not being asked to participate in the event. And also there are rumors out there, and again, the word on the street is that folks are talking about there's already been some reach out on the part of Jim Talent. He's had sit-down meetings with folks, particularly black folks within the business community. Stuff's already being done.
Oh, very definitely.
And commitments are already being made.
Oh, very definitely. And I'm telling you that there's a tremendous reach out on the part of the Republicans to various business people. But it's my understanding it has not just been limited to business. Individuals that are on their way out. Of the political arena that are Democrats are sitting down trying to cut deals with Talent.
And I've heard again, word on the street is that there are some prominent black folks out there that have said, you know what, I sat down, I met with them, and I'm going to be cutting them a check. I mean, there are people out there that it's interesting, Irene. It is interesting out there with regard to the senatorial race. There are grumblings out there.
There are grumblings. And I'm hearing people say this. They're saying, you know, I'm kind of, you know, supportive. I mean, soft support for Clara McCaskill. And people are saying, you know, she might make the same mistake that many people think that she made with respect to the boot heel, with kind of taking it for granted. And that some people think that feel like the African-American community may be kind of taken for granted when we are the margin of victory if she is to win the senatorial seat.
And so that's going to be something that bears watching. I don't know what grumblings are going to turn into. I don't know if people are going to come in line at the end. I don't know. But right now, word on the street is people are not very happy.
Right. So, I mean, you need the McClaskill campaign needs to get moving with trying to re-solidify her urban vote.
Because the fact of the matter, as quiet as it is kept, talent has been in making inroads within the community of African descent.
I mean, not only that, I mean, there are certain things people say, you know, they're not, I'm going to tell you what a lot of fuck will say. I ain't mad at him. He's a Republican,
him.
But, you know.
I'm not mad at him.
I'm not embracing their agenda, but he ain't did nothing to me.
And that's the interesting component about talent. While talent, when you look at his voting record, oh, he's with his boys in the Republican Party. Ain't make no doubt about
no
it.
No doubt about
he,
it.
He is with them, but he doesn't come off like a John Ashcroft. He doesn't come off like an Alberto Gonzalez. He doesn't come off like a rabid Dick Cheney type of Republican, but when you look at the record, it's there. So therein is the challenge to dealing with talent, because what do they always say, Irene? All politics is what?
Local. It's local. It's local.
That's
very,
right.
Very, very local.
What other word on the street we got?
You know, and this is not just word on the street. This is a fact. It looks like Sal Martinez got booted as the chairman of the St. Louis Housing Authority Board.
Ouch.
I mean, like,
ouch. Ouch. Out the door.
He got kicked out as the chairman. He is still a member of the board. It's real interesting. There were two members of the committee that were kind of sick that day, it's my understanding. And one of them happens to be one of the tenant representatives, Ms. Beasley, who lives in the Cochran Housing Projects. And the other one is an appointee of Slay, who was sick. And initially they told one person, Ms. Beasley, say, "Oh, just stay home. You can vote from home," which of course is absolutely untrue. So then when it seemed that Mr. Martinez wasn't sure about his votes, he called her on the phone and said, "Somebody, you know, we need you. Somebody will come get you," you know, but someone else was in the process of making sure that she was there. So when the vote came, turned out, Marlene Davis is the chairman of the St. Louis Housing Authority.
And word on the street is that folks went to Francis Slade to get Francis Slade's, "I want you to make this appointment of Marlene Davis to this position. I want you to weigh in on this race." And what did little Francis say?
It's my understanding Francis said, "Look, I kept my commitment. I appointed her."
Uh-huh.
Well, apparently, you know, Marlene went to work for herself and made her some alliances with the tenant representative on the board, and to boot for Sal Martinez.
Out the dough. Out the dough.
He's not totally out the door because he's still on the board, but
he out the door to power. I mean, the powerhouse, he out the door to powerhouse, okay?
And we're just really looking at this to see how that changed some of the dynamics of some of the things that were planned.
And isn't there some kind of federal investigation thing afoot out here, word on the street has?
Word on the street is that no, it's not this week. I believe next week. Mm-hmm. There are a group of citizens that will be meeting with the U.S. attorney
about
the Eastern District for influence peddling relative to local developments.
In the city of St. Louis.
In the city of St. Louis.
So word on the street is that, folks need to be thinking about putting aside some money for an attorney or two.
You know, they didn't name any specific individuals, although there were named individuals for our word on the street before.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have seen a copy of the letter that went to the U.S. Attorney's office,
mm-hmm.
and it's my understanding they have a sit-down meeting planned.
Ouch.
You know, and like I said, they didn't target any specific individuals.
Well, they didn't articulate any target.
Yeah, well, that's true.
They didn't articulate. I mean, you know how they work, so just because they haven't said it don't mean that they aren't already targeted.
That's right. So just, you know, handle your business and handle it right.
Well, you know, whatever. The word on the street is if somebody, there's some influence peddling going on out there.
The other interesting thing, which is not a surprise, it's been talked about before, but it's my understanding that there is a move afoot to have members of the St. Louis Police Department
mm-hmm.
take on some of the responsibilities of building inspectors.
And be specific for that because you have 3 minutes.
Responsibilities such as inspections, doing condemnations, condemning property.
The police would be given the authority to condemn somebody's house?
Yes.
How scary is that?
Considering the fact that we don't have local control of the police department, it's quite scary.
Well, even if we did, it's scary.
And we're talking about, at one time, some of them were even going to training sessions to get certified. And there are some other things that are under the screen that I'm trying to get information about. But that's something that is particularly scary. It's my understanding that the certain members of the fire department are interested as well. But the one that seems to be gaining legs are policemen becoming building inspectors.
So a cop has a vendetta against somebody. They can go take their mama's house. A cop wants to do something to somebody. They can condemn somebody. They can harass people. Not only can they take your car now, but they would be able to take your house as well.
Right. And again, this is word on the street. This is underground rumblings, and it's my understanding that certain people in the building division are a little upset about it. So watch out for that.
And this is something to get to your legislators about.
And tell them that you are absolutely opposed. And it's something to particularly get to the members of the Board of ENA, that is Darlene Green, your comptroller, Shrewsbury, the president of the Board of Aldermen, and Francis Slay, who occupies the office of mayor.
And that brings us to the close of Word on the Street. Again, if y'all have some Word on the Street that you want us to put out here, you can email us at wordonthestreet@lizbrown.com. That's wordonthestreet@lizbrown.com. Irene J. Smith.
Time flies.
Time flies. I will see you same time, same place next week.
All right, Word.
Word on the Street. And this is I on the Loop. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Sure, it'll help them, but it will also help us. And with that, President Bush closed on a landmark nuclear deal with India. ABC's Pam Coulter has more from New Delhi.
With negotiators working up to the last minute, the president and prime minister were able to announce a landmark deal on developing India's civilian nuclear power industry. It'll require New Delhi to separate its civilian and military programs while granting access to international inspectors. A tough sell to lawmakers in both countries, but Mr. Bush said necessary to curbing the global appetite for oil. The president was also briefed on the Karachi bombing that claimed the life of a U.S. diplomat, and he vowed the violence would not derail his one-day trip to Pakistan. Pam Coulter, ABC News, with the president in New Delhi.
So why won't the president change his mind about the trip to Pakistan? Because he said doing so would be giving in to terrorists.
Terrorists will kill innocent lives just like that. They have no conscience. You can't negotiate with them. You can't reason with them. They must be brought to justice.
But Pakistani officials say today's attack could be just the beginning.
This morning, authorities said the attack was almost certainly connected to a Pakistani al-Qaeda leader by the name of Mattia Rahman, who works out of Karachi. Authorities in Pakistan had told ABC News just yesterday that he was planning an attack on the U.S., a report that U.S. intelligence agencies had initially discounted.
That's ABC News Chief Investigative Correspondent Brian Ross. There's a confidential government video that's getting a lot of attention. The tape was obtained by the Associated Press, and it shows President Bush and his Homeland Security Secretary being given explicit warnings about the danger Hurricane Katrina posed to the Gulf Coast, including a warning that the New Orleans levees could fail. Well, a number of people are now saying that this will not help the White House. They're saying that many Democrats are pouncing on this finding already. This is ABC News.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
Here they are all the way from Liverpool.
Thousands marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, number NASD and SIPC.
The Great American Cleanup begins today. The event is in its 21st year. It will run through the end of May, and it will involve more than 2 million volunteers. This year, it begins in Biloxi, Mississippi, one of the towns that was hit hardest by Hurricane Katrina. Barbara Hastings is with the event's sponsor, Troy Belt Lawn and Garden Equipment.
There's a tremendous amount of work to be done in Biloxi. The residents here have worked so hard in the last 6 months and have done a great job so far, but it's just astounding the devastation that's still here.
Over 30,000 communities will take part in the cleanup. You may remember him as Jimmy from the old kids' TV show H.R. Puff and Stuff, but Jack Wilde was a serious actor, too. He earned an Academy Award nomination for playing the Artful Dodger in the 1968 movie musical Oliver. Wilde died after a long battle with mouth cancer. He was 53 years old. I'm Daria Olbinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a teenager will stand trial as an adult for a drive-by shooting that killed a child last October in North St. Louis. 15-year-old Myron Mull faces first-degree murder charges in the death of 8-year-old Craig Collins, Jr. 25-year-old Nemus Lawrence is also charged with first-degree murder in the shooting at Craig's grandmother's home. Another 15-year-old suspect faces juvenile charges. Missouri Governor Matt Blunt has no problems with the state Supreme Court's decision this week on an abortion law. The state's high court unanimously upheld a law requiring a 24-hour waiting period before a woman can obtain an abortion. Blunt says he is pleased with the ruling.
Having a 24-hour waiting period is, I think, a very reasonable step just to ensure that before a very significant procedure occurs, there's a time for reflection and a woman has an opportunity to review lots of different information about what some of the emotional, physical, and side effects could be.
Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis region challenged the 24-hour law, which passed in 2003, calling the waiting period unconstitutional. The justices rejected claims that the law is too vague and also cited a 1992 U.S. Supreme Court ruling upholding the 24-hour waiting period in Pennsylvania. Finally this hour, as Missourians prepare to do their taxes, tax experts are advising them to make sure they know about all the credits they are eligible to receive. Brenda Proctor, a consumer and family economic specialist at the University of Missouri Extension, says one of those is the earned income tax credit, which can be worth as much as $4,000. She says there are also two educational credits and the child tax credit that parents should see if they are eligible for. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Accountemps. Call today for the free 2006 salary guide providing the latest finance and accounting hiring outlook, the top skills in demand, and much more. Call today. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Westbound 64 between Illinois 159 and 157, an accident on the right shoulder in Fairview Heights. You can expect some delays. Eastbound 70 at 270, look for that accident to have been cleared. However, traffic is still thinning out at this hour. Eastbound 70 from Lucas and Hunt and Jennings Station, look for an accident. One right lane is getting through and traffic is backed up through Hanley. Southbound 270 at Olive, look for an accident there. The left lane is blocked. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to 270, no problems to report there. Northbound 55 from Richardson Road to 270, everything's on the move. Northbound 270 at Sappington and 44, expect slow traffic this hour. Eastbound 70 at K and 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 270 to Spady, look for slow traffic there as well. And Clarkson and Mason, they also have heavy volume going on there. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley, look for normal traffic. Westbound 64 from Illinois 50 to 159. Look for slow traffic due to an earlier stall. Westbound 270 from 367 into West Florissant. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 70 at Union. Vehicles are slowing to take a look on it. An accident on eastbound 70 at Lucas and Hunt. Northbound Route 3 at Monsanto and the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 5570 from the exchange onto the PSB. It is slow. Westbound 64 at 15th Street all the way onto the PSB. Expect slow traffic there as well. Westbound Martin Luther King Bridge from 5570 split onto Laclede's Landing. Looks good. And eastbound 30 at N. Look at NN. Look for roadway construction. And that reduces it to one lane. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash. 100% of the proceeds support health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today because when you play, everybody wins. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, look forward to breezy conditions, partly sunny skies with a high in the mid-50s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 30, colder. For Friday, mostly sunny, a high in the upper 40s. Friday evening, mostly clear with a low around 30. Then on Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 44 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 46. It's a little breezy out there and cool, so bundle up if you're going outside this morning. That's a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Up next, it's more of the award-winning Wake Up Call with your host, Liz Brown. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You are listening to AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Oh,
welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Thursday. It's Thursday at 8 o'clock, and that means that it is the Justice for Reggie Hour. And this is the hour where we take our time and we discuss the issue of the death penalty, and we discuss it from the perspective of one young African man that is on death row. We use this time to point out the injustice. We use this time to point out the problems. We use this time to educate you about the death penalty through the eyes, through the life, through the future of Reginald Clemens. And joining me, as always, on Justice for Reggie Thursday, Jamala Rogers. Good morning, Jamala.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Well, let's start where we always start, educating folks about who is Reginald Clemens. Who's Reggie?
Reginald Clemens is a young African-American male who, back in 1991, went to the bridge with some of his friends. In fact, one of them he had just met, so I can't say that they were all friends, and I need to make that distinction because a lot of the reports were like these were folks who hung out regularly, and actually only two of them really knew each other. So on the night of the April 4th, they came across three young white people. Two of them were Robin and Julie Carey and their cousin Tom Cummings. Before that night ended, Julie and Robin Carey were in the river. Tom Cummings, the cousin, initially confessed. And once there was a piece of evidence in the form of a flashlight that belonged to law enforcement, then that guilt shifted from Tom Cummings to the three African-American males. Those three African-American males were tried and convicted of murder, and all of them received the death sentence. In the case of Antonio Richardson, who was only 16 at the time, eventually his sentence was, reduced. And because of, in this case, the judge made the decision about the death penalty instead of the jury. But in the case of Marlon Gray, unfortunately, he was executed last October. And we are now waiting for the Missouri Supreme Court to give Reggie Clemens a date. And so a campaign has emerged to not only address the injustices in Reggie's case, which includes, you know, most elements in any of the death penalty cases in this country, and that is, forced confessions, pitiful counsel, horrific prosecution. And so those elements came together, and, we got one person dead and one person about to be killed. And so we've been doing a number of things to raise the issue around the death penalty and the case, including, young people coming together from the hip-hop community under the Freedom Riders Project. And we've had a competition for the last 6 weeks around the Poetry Slam and also around the MC Battle. And so we have young people in the studio who were the winners of that. But we also have a petition going on to petition Matt Blunt, who at this point in the clemency is the only one that can intervene. And I know that some people saw me doing a lone protest yesterday when Matt Blunt went over to Williams School. I just felt like when I heard that he was coming, that he need not be coming in our community unopposed with all the atrocities that he has committed against our community.
Just name one. Pick one.
And I thought there would be others out there, but there weren't. So I went ahead with my sign, said, Matt, Blunt, what about Reggie Clemens? What about Marlon Gray? So, I think we have to, raise the issue whenever and wherever we can, because he need not be able to hide from that fact that he's already allowed one young man to be killed.
One innocent young man.
And that he has a chance now to redeem himself and really look at the facts of the case. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important and instructive right now, Jamala, because there are people that are joining us for the first time, people that are not familiar with Reginald's case. If you could just articulate a few of the things that occurred in his case that underscore the why there is a justice for Reggie Thursday, the problems in the trial, because you've articulated that there was prosecutorial misconduct, there was ineffective assistance of counsel, there was racism, there was police brutality. All of these things formed together to almost a perfect storm of crimes that came together to put innocent men on death row. So give the audience some examples of some of these awful things, because I don't think it's just enough to say prosecutorial misconduct. Nels Moss provides the perfect teaching point of what prosecutorial misconduct is.
In the case of Reggie Clemons, Nels Moss was actually charged with contempt of court.
And he's the prosecutor.
And he's the prosecutor, and he did a number of things. I mean, just too numerous to mention, but one in particular, he made reference to Charles Manson during the trial, and he had done so even in the Marlon Gray case. And so you start to, as a juror, start to conjure up this sort of violent person who's manipulating, who's, you know, bloodthirsty, and a number of those juries who were mainly white already had predisposed, obviously, you know, attitudes about young black men. And so in a very short period of time, they were able to come back with the death penalty.
And I think for the listeners out there, some people may be thinking, well, so what? You can say Charles Manson. Why can't you say Charles Manson? You can't. The courtroom is the only place in our society where, you know, normally people say, well, life's not fair, the people don't follow the rules. The courtroom is the only place in this democratic society that we live in where you have to follow the rules. And if you don't follow the rules, there are consequences. And consequences can be a mistrial, consequences can be dismissal of a case, consequences can be you can be admonished by the judge. There are consequences, and it was wrong. It was breaking the rules. It was not following the law. It was disregarding what the judge told you that you couldn't do. He did it anyway, and that's why the saying those words are so meaningful in a trial in that context.
Absolutely, Liz, and it also makes you go immediately to what the role of the defense attorney was, because at a certain point, the defense attorney stopped, you know, objecting because he felt like he was being overruled. And so
he said, I'm going to stop objecting because I'm just going to be overruled anyway. And as a defense attorney myself, it just makes me want to pass out every time that I hear that, because that means that you've paid for an attorney who has stopped representing you in court and has killed any chances that you have on appeal. Because if I don't object as a defense attorney, I have preserved nothing for the Court of Appeals to rule on and say this was right or this was wrong. So he killed him twice.
He killed him twice.
Killed him twice.
And that's so significant, because people who are going into the court, unbeknownst to all of the layout of the land, if your attorney does not object, you have nothing to appeal. So a lot of times people are asking, well, why come you all can't do this? Why we can't do it? Because it wasn't preserved. Even if it was a valid issue, it's not been preserved, and it cannot, no matter how valid it was,
there are rules.
There are rules.
That's right.
And even in the case of some of the appeals judges, they say, you know, I would love to entertain that, but, you know, I can't.
Because he didn't preserve
it. He didn't preserve it. And so that's very significant, because, Liz, we talked about from the very beginning, really trying to use this as an instructional model for people who are going to have to interface with and be confronted with a very hostile legal system. And if you don't know the rules, you're going to have the landmines blowing up in your face.
Exactly.
If not then, later on, as you start to really realize what's happened to you, then you can't go back. A lot of times it's very difficult to go back and try to, you know, undo those wrongs.
And if you could just throw in one more thing, one more sneaky, foul thing that Nels Moss did, his investigator on the jury panel. This is shocking. This is just shocking.
He had an investigator that was working with the case who somehow, coincidentally, ended up in the jury pool. This person was able to contaminate jurors, talking about he thought that the folks were already guilty and they need to get, you know, something terrible needs to happen to them. So he was able to contaminate jurors before he was dismissed.
And here, and the way that the jury system is set up is that the first thing that a prosecutor does, the first thing that a defense attorney does, when the jury pool is brought in, they say, does anybody here know me? Or you see somebody in the jury panel and you say, that's Bob Jones. I want the record to reflect that's Bob Jones. He's my next door neighbor. I need to bring that to the attention of the court. Nels Moss saw that investigator there. He didn't say jack. The investigator didn't say jack. He went about his business and contaminated that jury pool, acting like, because he said to them, I work for the prosecuting attorney's office. I know these guys are guilty. He did all of that kind of stuff to poison it. And then, of course, when people finally fessed up who he was, he got kicked off with the damage was done. And his attorney didn't say, and the baby's attorney did not say, oh, we got to start from the beginning.
That really should have been a mistrial.
A mistrial. We need to get a whole different pool up in here. He didn't say any of that. And you can't, what's the phrase, unring the bell if the damage is done. And that's foul.
And there's a lot of unringing of the bell that happened in that courtroom. And Nels Moss, being an experienced prosecutor, knows this. Once you've said something in the courtroom, you know, juries can't, like, undo that, even though the judge might say, let's strike that from the record. And one of the things that he alluded to, he tried to paint a picture in his closing arguments that that there was more evidence that he just couldn't bring it forward. Now, you know, that was a lie.
It's a lie.
It was a lie.
It's a lie.
But to a juror,
and you're not allowed to say that, and there should have been an objection, and there should have been a ruling on that, and it didn't happen.
So here's jurors thinking, wow, we may possibly, you know, acquit somebody that's guilty, and we don't want that on our chest.
That's
so
right.
He's saying there's more evidence that we didn't get a chance to look at, so maybe we should convict this person. So, I mean, Nels Moss used every trick in the book as a seasoned, prosecutor, and a lot of them were illegal, and not illegal, definitely unethical.
Illegal and unethical. And the other piece of it is that we can't forget the investigator that was in the jury pool, because when Nels Moss said to that juror, there's more evidence out here that I wasn't able to bring to you, I believe past my heart that investigator told him a bunch of stuff that never got into court because it didn't exist. And they're saying, we know what it was.
Yeah.
You betcha we're going to convict this person because that awful legal system wouldn't let this wonderful prosecutor tell us everything. But we know already because the investigator told
us. Right, exactly.
So convict him.
Right. So to me, there's no doubt in my mind that investigator was planted in there, and that, you know, the fact that he went undetected and long enough to poison the jury pool, is proof of that.
There you go. All right. So those are some of the facts that brings us to this place. And part of the campaign of this, Jamala, because you're the organizer, you're the head of this campaign. We've got the petition drive going on. But that's not enough, because the campaign has more components to that. Talk to us about one of the components that's in the studio with us right now.
One of the things that we wanted to do for two reasons to bring young people into this. One is that they're often the victims of the system. And that's whether it's, you know, victimized by police brutality or just being confronted with the injustice system. But, you know, there were a couple of young people that said, hey, you know, we'd like to try, you know, a project to get the hip-hop community involved in this. And so they developed the Freedom Writers Project. And there were a number of young people, DJs, and some of these young people that have their own recording companies that came on board. And back in February, we kicked off the Poetry Slam. And every week, sometimes twice a week, we had a Poetry Slam. And then we moved on into the MC battle. And so we need to, you know, give a shout out to the folks who hosted it, like the Legacy Books. Ujima hosted the Poetry Slam and the finals for the MC battle. It was a science. So I think the thing that made it really nice for the MC battle and the winner of the Poetry Slam was able to open that up was that Large Professor was in town. And so we had a nice crowd there at Blueberry Hill. So we have in the studio Thunder, and she is Thunder, and she won the Poetry Slam, and Cash won the MC Battle. So we wanted to folks to hear, you know, the pieces that they won with, and I thought what was so interesting about a lot of these young artists is that they don't write stuff down, Liz. Mm-hmm. They just freestyle it. And so when you start to ask for, can I get a copy of that? You got to, like, photograph their minds to get it. So that
well, got to start thinking in terms of legacy, because 20 years from now, folks going to know want to know what you said. Mm-hmm. And we got to have some kind of record to pass it on.
Yeah.
Pass it on. We have about 4 minutes to our break here. What I would like to do is to start with you, Thunder, and tell us a little bit about yourself, and how long is your piece?
My piece is, hello, America. My piece is 2 minutes and 53 seconds.
Okay, so we have about enough time for you to tell us a little bit about yourself and then share this the piece with us.
First of all, I am a God-fearing woman. I'm married, and I'm a mother of five. And basically, I just have a soul.
Mm-hmm.
I have humanity, and that's what interested me in the Reggie Clemens case and also the Marlon Gray case, because it's about humanity,
mm-hmm.
and it seems that America is forgetting that.
Mm-hmm. And so when did you first hear about the either Marlon Gray or Reggie?
I first heard about it through the Legacy Bookstore. I was there because my New Year's resolution was to get out here, because I do spoken word poetry, and it's a piece of me in all of my poetry. So I wanted to just get out here this year and put it out there. And while I was out there, that was put in my road.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm riding that road right now to hope to assist in some type of clemency for Reggie Clemens.
Was there some component of what's the Reginald Clemens case or the Marlon Gray case that inspired you for the piece that you're getting ready to do for us? Was there something specific that was your inspiration?
Yes, life.
Mm-hmm.
That's all in one, just life.
Okay, so what's the name of your piece?
Chain of Rock Blues.
Chain of Rock Blues, all right, hit it.
Trying to shake the chain of rock blues, Reggie Clemens stands falsely accused. 5 hours in police custody, the young teen was coerced and abused. Fact, picked up from his home without a warrant from his arrest. Slap punched in the head, choked and was beaten about the chest. Reggie Clemens heard the words from the text, boy, you better confess, confess. So he did. While at his arraignment, his bruises were noticeable and critical, that the judge ordered for him to be taken to a hospital. I guess while looking at his injuries, the judge overlooked his case of conspiracy. Now Thomas Commons called the police to the tragic scene, lying, saying some unknown predators robbed him and raped his cousins and made them jump 80 feet into the ravine. Being Thomas Commons, clothes and hair was not wet but yet neat. The police officer said, you need to come with me. Thomas Commons then confessed after he didn't pass the polygraph test. Fact, now Thomas Commons is free, and Reggie Clemens didn't have a criminal history. Open and shut case. So why is Reggie Clemens seeking clemency? Danielle Renfree, also known as Daniel W-H-I-T-E-F-R-E-E, said, I'm not going to let them kill me. I'll take a plea. Reggie Clemens was, that would be my testimony. Caucasians, persuasions is what the three African-American brothers lack. Rich leads me to believe Reggie Clemens, Antonio Richardson, and the late executed Marlon Gray received the death row sentence for being black. Fact. Reggie Clemens has been locked up for more than a decade, and by the hands of the justice system, he's been betrayed. His debt to society has already been paid on death row for being an accomplice. 15 years is enough time while being black at the scene of a crime. Matt Blunt, while looking in your firstborn eyes, at least attempt to see that Vera Thomas's last born, Reggie Clemens, is overdue for his clemency. He's on death row and still obtained his GED. I said he's on death row and still obtained his GED. Vera Thomas, keep your faith or your prayers are being heard throughout the communities of the spoken words. Governor, I pray that God will help you see through the strife, for rehabilitation cannot succeed in death, only in life. People sign the petitions and don't refuse to help Reggie Clemens overcome his chain of rock blues.
All right.
All right.
All right now. We're going to take a break, folks. We're going to take a break and cogitate on that. We'll be back. I'm Liz Brown. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He's calling black.
trash to his children, and he's the only trash here I see. And I'm thinking this man wears a white hood in the night when his children should sleep. But they'll slip through their windows and they'll see him, and they'll think that white hood's all they need. Hard life, hard life, hard life.
You've been listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Eastbound 70 from Lucas and Hunt and Jennings Station Road. There's an accident on the right lane that's getting through, and traffic is jammed back to 170. Eastbound 44 from Bulls to 270 looks good. Northbound 270 at Gravois and 44, look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 at 79, look for that traffic to be easing. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, it's easing there, as well as Ballas and Lindbergh. It's still a bit sluggish. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 from 367 to West Florissant, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 70 from Union to Lucas and Hunt, vehicles are slowing to take a look at that accident. Westbound 40 between Ballas and 141, look for slow traffic there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge, look for that traffic to be easing. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 onto the PSB, it is stop and go still this hour. Westbound 64 at 25th and the PSB, expect delays. Westbound Martin Luther King Bridge from 5570 split all the way into Laclede's Landing, look for that congestion to have been cleared. South Grand at Delore, look for an accident. East Page at Schutz, there's an accident in the left shoulder, and its traffic is backed up to 270 at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New from the Illinois Lottery, Veterans Cash. 100% of the proceeds benefit health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today, because when you play, everybody wins. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Breezy, much cooler. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the mid-50s this evening. Mostly clear, colder, with a low around 30. Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 40s. And Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are holding steady at 45 degrees under mostly sunny skies. It's breezy outside, so it does feel cooler than what it looks. Lambert Field has 46 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, your traffic, and your weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
The recent hailstorm may have caused damage to your roof. But beware. When these types of events happen, people called storm chasers appear out of the blue and offer to do the work, but then disappear with your money and only half do the job. Phil Person of Phil Person Roofing reminds you he will be here to serve you long after the storm chasers have come and gone. Person Roofing is a licensed and certified contractor specializing in roof replacements and repairs, and replaces from 200 to 400 roofs a year. Phil Person Roofing, in business 16 years, 361-7127.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school? Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler, not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
rise up, rise up. Everybody gotta rise up. Come follow me, rise up, rise up. They see myself, got to rise up. You got to rise up, rise up. Everybody gotta rise up. Yeah, you gotta rise up, rise up.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Thursday. It's in the 8 o'clock hour. That means it's Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers, the coordinator of the Justice for Reggie campaign. Jamala, bring folks back to what we're doing here right now at this moment.
For folks who are just joining us, you just missed Thunder perform her winning piece from the Poetry Slam.
But you can go to whiterosesociety.org and check it out.
And you can hear it.
JusticeForReggie.com, you can check it out and hear it.
That's absolutely correct. And really, we are going to try to find as many venues as we possibly can so that they can perform, because we don't want this to sort of be the end of it. We do have the winner of the MC battle here, Cash. And, you know, the competition was pretty stiff. I mean, when I looked at the young people that were performing, and I think I told folks there were at least a couple of folks who were in Potosi with Reggie, who were part of the Poetry Slam. And so they felt really connected to Reggie because they knew him. But I thought the competition was pretty stiff. Mm-hmm. And I think the beauty of it, and I found this out later, that they moved the time up so that it could be broadcast, and Reggie did hear it.
Oh,
so he was like just totally flabbergasted, and he taped it. So he'll get a chance to play it over and over and over again and play it for the other brothers inside the center. And so that made it all right, because we didn't know. We originally was going to come over about 12 o'clock midnight,
mm-hmm.
and by that time the broadcast would have been off, but they moved it up so he was able to hear that. So
very good.
Yeah.
So what are we getting ready to do now?
We're getting ready to hear Cash, who is a part of Honors English Group, and he's going to do his winning piece for the MC battle.
And Cash, tell us about why did you decide to become part of this?
Really, just being a man of action and being about change, period. I'm not here to talk about it. I'm here to do it. And the first and most important thing I could do is use this music for what it was created for. Music was created to raise people's awareness, make people stronger, and build each other up. And I didn't start doing what I do for any other reason than to make a difference.
All right, well, make a difference this morning. Show us what you got.
Reggie ain't got no business in jail like Bush in Iraq. That's a fact. He got railroaded like Amtrak. Three black men sentenced to death. Jury all white. Now, you don't need Matlock to tell you that they ain't right. Prosecutor Nels Moss turned the trial to a sham. They stuck Reggie with a defense worse than the Rams. Damn, Renfrey lied to get off. Without a thought, they got them brothers on death row faster than Tupac. Don't be shocked, ain't no love. Why, Matt Blunt ain't saving them. Him and Francis Slade trying to pay for a stadium. Thomas Cummins murdered two girls and got away. Don't let them kill Reggie like they killed Marlon Gray. I'ma ship them some dynamite and shovels inside a cake. Send them books by Harry Houdini, How to Escape. Hit these pigs like the Terminator. One man army, I'm a soul rebel. I shoot the sheriff like Bob Marley.
and Liz, if you can hear that to the music, because his was to like a track, and so it was pretty powerful.
Well, I wish you brought the powerful track, man. With you, because we could have done that. Oh my word!
No, what they
up in there? Oh! I like that. I like that. Put all the guilty parties up in that one. All right.
Nobody.
All right. Yeah. Covered everybody.
So no, what they had to do was like the DJ puts down a track. They don't even know what the track might be, and they have to do it over the track.
Oh,
I ended up actually making up half my material on the spot.
Hush up.
And, mm-hmm. and just knowing that Reggie got to hear that really, you know, means a lot. I'm really glad that
he knows
that there's people out here, because honestly, I was upset because a lot of people didn't take this seriously enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I feel like, unfortunately, you know, due to this society, you know, death is... people are numb to death, and people don't appreciate life no more.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a life,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a situation that somebody heard about until somebody you know is in that situation. But it's not. It's very real, and you know, people needed to really care. So.
And what I really like about your piece is the fact that It's an educational piece as well. It really, really educates you to the components that have come together to make this wicked, awful, lawless act take place.
Right.
And it also is a call to folks, like if people are listening and don't know who some of the players are, they can be saying, I need to find out about what's going on. Tell me what do you mean about who's Matt Blunt?
You know,
what he have to do with this, and what do you mean, what stadium that they paid for?
Right.
I mean, and that's kind of what we're trying to do here, Jamal, is educate people through as many mediums as we can about how wrong the death penalty is.
And before we came and we were in the reception, I told them one of the things I noted was that there was a clear anti-police theme in all of the rap.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that has to do with they're closer to it than most people because they see it, they feel it. And Thunder was saying an incident about she was arrested and victimized by the police for blowing the horn in front of her house.
Yes.
So there are incidences that they can draw from based on their own personal experiences of what they've experienced and seen and family has seen, and that is pervasive among particularly black young men who have to be victimized by the police. So it's no accident that it comes out in their poetry. So,
And I think that I would like to maybe try to clarify something. When you say anti-police, we're talking about anti-corrupt police. We're talking about anti-lawless police. We're talking about police that don't follow the rules. And then also we're talking about the police that stand silent in the face of all of that, because you know, and if you don't want to be judged by the bad behavior of your friends, then step up and say, I don't support this either.
Right.
And that's the problem within the police force. I think that a lot of people would not have their guards up appropriately as a logical response to some of the wrongdoing that's being done. I think that people would be more open to some things that the police want to do if they would ever just come forward and say, you know what, we were wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
You know, that ain't right. That ain't right what we did.
But when have we heard of that, Liz?
Well, I can give you one example in the Reggie Clemens case. When the white young man got paid for that, okay? When he got his $150,000, that was the time that they said, we did something wrong, and go figure, they didn't do anything wrong to him in that case.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly.
You know?
There's nothing worse than abuse of power.
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest crime.
Yes.
It's the biggest responsibility.
Yeah. They paid a murderer off. Mm-hmm. That's what they did.
Yeah. That's exactly what they did. And I'm proud of both of you because people of African descent come from an oral culture. We come from a culture where we use words to communicate in ways that other cultures do not.
Right.
There's a rhythm, there's a beat, there's a message, there's an energy to how we put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fabulous to feel that for such an important issue. And no disrespect to anybody, but I am kind of weary of going to poetry slams and hearing people only talk about sex. You know, I really want to hear and feel some meaning. You know, I understand for some 21s, that's all they have on their mind, but we have more of a responsibility.
Absolutely.
Than that.
I have to stand there and watch people glorify the very things that send you to jail.
Mm.
And that disappoints me.
Mm.
And then people shy away from what I have to say because it's the opposite of that.
Mm.
And, you know, I have to deal with that and fight against it, even when it's discouraging, because you don't always feel like anybody is listening.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this was the opportunity that I really wanted and needed to put that at the forefront.
And we're going to take a break.
Okay.
We have to take a break to hold that thought,
okay.
Thunder. We're going to be back. This is Liz Brown. It's Thursday. It's Justice for Reggie Thursday. We're doing some really special stuff up in here today. You don't want to miss any of this, so stay with us. We'll be back after this break.
Plane veil from the sky, we try to figure what happened. Burning churches, fearing God, who can be so cruel? We all ignorant to AIDS, till it happens to you. Just be a man, make plans, listen to your voice. A woman's trying to make decisions, we should leave them a choice. Cause who are we to say who lives or die? Reason stops, all this judgments on other lives needs to stop. What are we living for? Giving more back than taking. On my knees, still waiting for my own salvation. Now I feel abandoned, cause Matthew can't. And say I'm greedy. You can take my taxes, send me to war, but can't feed me. It's so easy to regret things after they done. Babies catching murder cases, scared to laugh in the sun. The tragedy is that we all need love and doses. In times like these, we feel closest. The good die young.
Does anybody ever answer one?
times like these, we feel closer. The goods are...
You've been listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
This hour's Global News Update will be heard in its entirety next Thursday in the 8:45 time slot.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Listen, folks, if you want to get some shopping done, you need to get on down to Sears at 3425 Union. If you want a big TV, if you want a small TV, if you want a refrigerator, a stove, get on over to Sears. Black on black operated. Get your shop on. And when you talk to Jerome Williams, tell him I told you to. Sears, get your shop on.
What you need to know when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I wish I didn't get so weak. Oh, ooh, baby, just to hear you speak makes me argue just to see how much you're in love with me. Be like a queen.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers, as I always am on Thursdays, because this is Justice for Reggie Thursday. And this morning we are doing something very special, spoken word all over the place up in here this morning. And we were talking to one of our in-the-studio guests, Thunda. You wanted to complete a thought about the state of the spoken word.
Yes. We were at the Blueberry Hill in a duck room when the MC battle was going down, and I just wanted to say it was a lot. It was majority whites in there, mm-hmm. And I went through the room and got Jamala witnessed this and got two pages signed of the petitions, two pages of signatures full, and majority of the people that signed these petitions were white. I looked at that, mm-hmm. And that concerned me. You know, it really did. It's not a black or white issue with me, but it concerns me that, you know, more people needed to get involved. I don't want to put a color on it, but it was people from Chicago, New York. I mean, just from everywhere. And they were like, that's power. They heard what was going on, and it's a light. So they was like, I don't need, you know, I'll sign it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a lot of people, our race, our nationality, needs to get involved and sign the petition. It's just a signature, mm-hmm. And an e-pen. Mm-hmm. That's all it takes. Mm-hmm.
And for the record, though, there are lots of black folks out there that are signing the petitions, right, Jamal?
There definitely are. And one of the things that we decided that we wanted to do is to really challenge young people to get involved. Because we looked at, you know, who were really getting out there, and it was our senior elder warriors. Mm. I mean, people like Mary Lou Lewis and Lois Jean and Martha West and Sister Catherine. So we said we were going to start a Club 30. Mm-hmm. And Club 30, to get into this elite club, you need to turn in two complete petitions a week. Mm-hmm. And but it's also geared toward really trying to bring young people in, and I think the whole writers workshop project is going to help do that. And so we got the word out there, people heard the sounds. There are a number of people who did not win, but certainly were competitors who had some really nice pieces, and so those are going to be put together in a compilation, both in the poetry and a CD disc made of the MC Battle. So,
and that's, I guess, the going back to the power of the word, that now that you have so many people, in fact, a generation of people that are used to hearing the music in this particular way, mm-hmm. the word way, then there comes a huge responsibility with that to make certain that the words that go into the ears of our young people are words not only of empowerment, but as you said, a call to action.
Words have power.
Yes, they do.
You can create or destroy with words, and the sooner you realize that, the more powerful you'll become.
And we knew that, yes. that by doing this, that it is that power. And one of the things that's always concerned me about the hip-hop community, particularly the spoken word, is that sometimes young people get stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is supposed to, the words are supposed to, you know, call you to action. But if you're just spitting, then you're really not affecting change. And if your words are not moving people to do something, then you failed in that way. So it really isn't just about spitting. It's about how can you inspire people to do something, mm-hmm. to fight against injustice. And so for me, just hearing it makes me want to, you know, mm-hmm. move it up a notch in terms of the young people coming forward. But there's been people signing petitions. We've gotten petitions from France, from Germany.
Yes.
So people, the word is getting out. We got, yes. you know, a ministry in Nigeria, the Praise for Reggie every Tuesday. And so the
Nigeria,
word...
Nigeria, my people. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that came through us from Reverend Madeline Coburn, who hooked that up for us. And mm-hmm. so, you know, it's out there, and the energy is in the spirit is moving people,
yes.
but we need to make sure that it gets concretized.
That's
and
right.
the way that you do that is that petition gets signed.
And where can people get the petition? How can they get involved?
People can come by the Rowan Community Center at 1401 Rowan every Monday to get a petition. You can also download the petition from www.justiceforreggie.com. There are a number of outlets that have it. Those are growing, too, and we'll have to complete that list next time and read it, Liz. But, you know, Legacy Books has it. You know, the ACLU has it. D's Barbecue has it on King Drive and Union. So a lot of
C&K.
And so what we're doing is putting it where black people go, where people go, and where, you know, barbershops and is that sportsman's barbershop. So we want to make sure that people is where people can conveniently sign. But more than sign, we need people to actually take the petition and get signatures. And that's
yes.
the thing that's going to make it grow exponentially. And so these Reggie Thursdays are to update people and inform people, but it's also to get them to get involved in the campaign some kind of way.
Because, you know, as fabulous as it is to stand around the water cooler and talk about what you heard on the wake-up call, that you heard Justice for Reggie Thursday and it's so awful and all of this, there is more involved in it than that, because we don't do this simply for it to lie there to be a water cooler discussion. This is something that we must get involved in. We have
yes.
to. You have to live your life actively. You can't
yes.
just pay your bills, go home, feed your family, and say my work here is done. Because if that's the case, then check out. Because there's so much more to life than you're supposed to be doing.
And unfortunately, there's so much injustice
yes.
that you almost can't live without somehow.
It's coming to your door. Whether you participate in stopping it or not.
Right. Exactly.
You
and
know.
It's going
right.
to come in a way that's even more powerful, because we haven't, like, you know, had an organized resistance to it. So this is a way that people, and I really believe that people can make a difference in Reggie. And it ought to be that since we've lost one young man wrongfully, and actually two, because, you know, the Larry Griffith case is still
yes.
hanging out there, that, you know, here's a chance for us to make a difference. And so we need to be sending a message to Matt Blunt, which, like I said, I had to do that. He had to see that sign when he came through
mm-hmm.
Williams School, perpetrating like he's a concern about black children.
I should have been there with one of about Craig Williams, $25,000 a month, and destroying our school district, but that's another topic
yeah.
for another day.
Jamila, yeah.
Also, I'm at the Club Illusion every Wednesday night doing spoken word, and I keep a petition with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's over in East St. Louis. So, and this is Thunder. So if you guys are over in East St. Louis, on a Wednesday night, come inside Club Illusion. I keep a petition with me. I got some signed there last night, so
mm-hmm.
come on out. I'm there ready.
That's
mm-hmm.
a good. That's a good point, because you don't have to be a Missouri resident. You don't have to be a registered voter. Anybody can sign this petition. This is not a official petition that's going to have to be, you know, notarized. if you believe that there needs to be justice for Reggie, you can sign that petition.
And, exactly. And if you could quickly give us an update on the Civilian Review Board, because that's connected to this, too. That is, if we're talking about how do you keep police officers from beating people, well, one of the ways that you do it is you shine the light of day on it and you have a civilian oversight committee. What's the status of that?
The status of that is coming up on the floor tomorrow at the Board of Aldermen in the city of St. Louis. So people can come down at 10 o'clock. This is the regular time that the board meets. It will come up for what they call perfection. And, you know, people need to be there to see, you know, what's happening. They need to see how government works, because for a lot of people, being involved in the Board Bill campaign also introduced them to how legislation is made and or not made. And so I think it's been an educational process for a lot of people. But tomorrow at the board, the Kennedy Bill, also Board Bill 69, will come on the floor for a full vote.
And so this is the vote for it, or this is the most important vote for it? This is the vote people need to be there for?
This is where people need to be.
Okay, tomorrow at 10 at the Board of Aldermen, and the address for that is?
The 12th and Market. And we can't guarantee what's going to happen, because you know how politics is, but, you know, people need to be
doesn't
there.
Doesn't matter. People need to
be there,
there
and
people,
witness it.
And people to, and let their alder people know that this is an important issue. And as we put on word on the street, that Francis Lay is desperately trying to get some folks to step away from this bill, to not vote for this bill. How's that working out for him?
It's not working out too good, but, you know, there's still some folks who believe that, you know, the police are doing good in their particular wards, and they probably are, because mm-hmm. those wards are predominantly white. And so there's obviously some racial divide there, and we are speaking, you know, truth to power, and so we hope that there will be some allies that will come on board.
And I just want to throw one quick thing as a reason for people to really be part of the Civilian Review Board. There's a possibility, there's rumblings out there of trying to make the police now building inspectors and give them the ability to condemn buildings, and how frightening is that? So now they can take away your car as a result of legislation that has been brought. Now they're trying to give them the power to take away your home. If that doesn't scare you mm-hmm. out of your bed and out of
yes.
your shoes and out of your mind, then you're dead. Because so you need to be there tomorrow. We need oversight over these people.
Absolutely.
Doctors have oversight. Lawyers have oversight. Police need oversight.
And they right. need it more than everybody else, because they carry a gun.
They carry a gun.
Exactly.
And
attitude.
I want to thank you both so much. It was wonderful. Can anybody get a copy of what we just heard today yet?
Not yet. It's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming because we want that to be part of the fundraiser to help Reggie. You know, people can come tonight. There's going to be a forum on the death penalty. Myself and Vera Thomas will be at Tegeler Hall at 6 o'clock talking about Reggie's case. And, you know, what people can do. So join us there.
All right. I'll be back same time, same place. Wonderful job. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you, Liz Brown.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. I'll be back. Stay with us, folks.
The progress is healing the wound.
That matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. A big shift in U.S. nuclear policy toward one nation. Washington is ready to help India develop its program, provided it is not used for military reasons. ABC's Pam Coulter is traveling with the president in New Delhi.
Negotiations on the nuclear deal went down to the wire. Representatives continued to hammer out details, even as the president and Indian prime minister held their private meeting. Mr. Bush considers it essential to easing global oil demand and high crude prices. Demonstrating he's not intimidated by the bloody bombing in Karachi, which claimed the life of an American diplomat, the president vowed to go on with his Saturday visit to Pakistan.
Congress has yet to sign off on the deal, and the president says that could take some convincing, and they're not the only ones who have questions about it.
At this point, people are comfortable that the necessary precautions are in place, but this is not a risk-free undertaking.
National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley. Mom is still the word from the White House on the videotaped briefings that were
were obtained by the Associated Press. They show the president and the Homeland Security Secretary being warned in no uncertain terms about the dangers of Hurricane Katrina before it made landfall. More from ABC News senior national correspondent Claire Shipman.
During that same meeting, this warning from National Hurricane Center Director Max Mayfield about the New Orleans levees.
I don't think anyone can tell you with any confidence right now whether the levees will be topped or not, but that's obviously a very, very grave concern.
A statement that conflicts with what the president told Diane Sawyer on Good Morning America 3 days after the storm hit, after the levees were breached and floodwaters drowned the city.
I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees.
ABC News senior national correspondent Claire Shipman in Washington. Checking the money scope at abcnews.com, the Dow is down 40 points in early going. The Nasdaq is off as well. It's down about 10 points. This is ABC News.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
Here they are all the way from Liverpool.
There are thousands marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASD and SIPC.
Randall McCloy is learning how to walk and talk again. He was the only survivor of a deadly West Virginia coal mine fire. His wife Anna says he has made some real strides on what will be a very long road to recovery.
It's getting very close to that, and you see a lot of Randy's personality, which is the reason I married him, is because of his personality. I was so afraid that it wasn't going to come back, but it's there. He's showing it.
McCloy hasn't been told, however, that the 12 miners he was working with that day were killed. The new $10 bill makes its debut today. It's been redesigned in order to make it harder to counterfeit, but what you're probably going to notice is the difference in the colors. James Brent is with the Office of Currency and Engraving, and he tells you what you can look for.
The most notable design change will be the introduction of background color. Specifically, subtle shades of orange, yellow, and red have been added to the face of the note.
James Brent from the Office of Currency and Engraving. And again, the new 10 spot making its debut at banks near you starting today. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Ransmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, formal charges are pending against a man who held police at bay for 2 hours yesterday in East St. Louis. Authorities say the man was wanted for an assault and carjacking in Collinsville and led police on a chase in the stolen car before crashing and fleeing on foot. A standoff began in an industrial area of East St. Louis when the suspect threatened to harm himself. Police used a stun gun to take the man into custody. He is being treated for apparently self-inflicted knife wounds. State employees working in St. Louis want the state legislature to pass a flat pay raise. A group of social workers protested outside their office yesterday, demanding the state give all state employees a $1,600 raise rather than a 4% increase. Caseworker Nicole Chapman says Governor Matt Blunt should step in her shoes to see how hard her job is.
My problem with Blunt is this. You're in office and you're doing your thing, and I'm not saying your job is easy, but I would like for you to come here one day and try to do what we do and deal with what we do and have a client threaten to shoot you, kill you, jump over the table and attack you.
Workers say under the plan, the lower paid workers would benefit from the increase more than the upper tier workers. The state legislature will vote on what kind of pay raise employees will receive at the end of the legislative session.
Finally, this hour, members of the Emergency Campaign for America's Priorities are urging Missouri's legislators to reject tax breaks for the wealthy. Ron Berry, a spokesperson for the group, says statistics show that the tax cuts are hurting the poor and middle class more than they are helping the wealthy. He notes that while the tax breaks will give the wealthy a two-year savings of $18,000, the poorest of Missourians will only get an average tax break of $1. This WGNU News report is brought to you by your local RE/MAX dealer. Buying or selling a home could be the biggest financial transaction in your lifetime. Why trust your investment to anyone other than an experienced RE/MAX agent? Find your RE/MAX agent at RE/MAX.com. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Eastbound 40 at Ballas, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked. Eastbound 70 at Lucas and Hunt is closed to clear the accident. Traffic is still jammed near Air Flight. Northbound 270 at 44 and Marshall, look for that congestion to be cleared. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic there as well. Northbound Route 3 at Poplar Street Bridge, that congestion is cleared. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the PSB, you still have stop and go traffic. Westbound 64 at Bow Avenue and 5570 split, look for delays there. Westbound Martin Luther King Bridge traffic at 5570, look for slow traffic there, and there's an accident at LaSalle and Jefferson. Eastbound 30 at Route NN, there's road construction, and it's reduced to one way. Shoto is closed from Van Deventer all the way to 39th to rebuild the bridges and roadway. The eastbound exit ramp from 64 or 40, if you will, at the Shoto Bridge is closed permanently. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash, 100% of the proceeds benefit health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today, because when you play, everybody wins. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, breezy, much cooler, partly cloudy, high in the mid-50s this evening. Colder, mostly clear with a low around 30. Friday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 40s. Friday evening, mostly clear with a low around 30. And then on Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 46 degrees under clear skies, but it's cool outside. Lambert Field is reporting 46 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. She's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Who need help, but can't find it. struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal citizenship.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and beautiful struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. And I'm Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And I think that we don't spend enough time celebrating. Sometimes I feel like spend enough time celebrating some of the wonderful things that are going on, because there are other issues that challenge us daily, minutely, secondly, maybe constantly challenge us. So I want to take some time this morning to talk about some good stuff, because y'all know how I love the babies. I didn't do my shout out. Go Metro. Metro is going to the district finals. They're in the finals for district, the first time in the history of Metro. Coach Brown, you're doing a wonderful job. Shout out to Metro. But we have even more wonderful news, because one school isn't just it. We have to talk about a district. And the good news that we're going to talk about this morning is what is going on in the Wellston School District. Another update on Wellston. And I have joining me in the studio Dr. Charles Brown, superintendent of the Wellston School District, and Joyce Roberts, chief academic officer of the Wellston School District. Welcome back.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Liz.
And good morning.
Excited to be back.
And it's wonderful to have you here. I just have to say this. Last time you were here, I got phone calls from grown men that were crying about how excited they were about what was happening at Wellston. I got emails from people that were so excited about what is going on in Wellston. One email in particular sticks out in my mind about... It's clear that they just love the babies. It is clear that they just love the babies and care about what happens and have a plan for success for our children. So that one sticks in my mind. People were really pleased about what's going on in Wellston. And I'm looking at this stuff that you've given me, too. As amazing as that last visit was, even more has happened. Dr. Brown, let's start with you. The amazing things that are going on at Wellston. What's happened since the last time that we've talked?
Well, a number of issues. I'd like to focus maybe just on a couple, and then we can expand out from there. But We're really excited about the implementation of our after-school program. We feel that the school district is only going to be as strong and as solid as the community. And so this after-school program, while it is an extension of the regular school day for the children, it also provides opportunity for community adults and other folks in the community to participate. And so it's a community effort. It's a family effort, as I see it.
Because Wellston is a small community, and there are a lot of needs. They don't have things like in the city of St. Louis, their after-school programs, and some of our public libraries. Wellston doesn't have one yet.
Not yet.
Okay, but so this is really filling a void. I mean, it's not just school, but it's filling a void in the community.
For sure. And Mrs. Roberts will sort of fill you in on this, but for example, we have a donation of some 40,000 books.
Stop.
That came, and Joyce will tell you the location, but 40,000 books to supplement our libraries in all of our schools. We ideally would like to have taken those books and put them in a community family resource center,
right,
which, by the way, we'll talk a little bit about later, which we hope to have in the community. But just imagine that. We have to be literate. Mm-hmm. We have to read. Families have to read to their children, and we're going to make
And we have to have a way for people to get to the books.
There you go.
So that's what that's so 40,000 books.
Yes.
40. See, that's just to me, that just says people see a future in you all. People see that you all are doing something wonderful.
Well, Mrs. Roberts was a contact for this, and maybe she can speak to it. But Joyce, what are our plans for those books, though?
I'm excited to say thank you to the church organization in Chesterfield who willingly donated 40,000 books.
40,000.
That translates into 424,000, and they're brand new books.
Oh, hush up.
Brand new. And they also worked very closely with me to provide the transportation and manpower to get them to the district.
Absolutely.
And so, again, kudos to the church in Chesterfield that helped to fill that void. Not only are we taking advantage of those books directly in the schools, but we are continuing to stock our satellite libraries until one day soon we hope to have a freestanding library in the community of Wellston.
And I just have to say this. It's like the school district is now becoming the heartbeat of this community, that you're sending blood out, pumping blood out into other components of the community. And that's why it's so important that we need to protect our schools, because it is the heartbeat of a community.
And you've said it absolutely right, Liz. The school is the heartbeat of a community. It's the community's identity. And we are committed, both personally and professionally, to make a difference not only in the Wellston School District but in the community at large.
And let's get back to some of these after-school programs, because I'm just so excited as I'm reading the list of this, Dr. Brown. Tell us some of these programs that you now have available for the babies and the families in Wellston.
First of all, we have the focus is on academic achievement, and mm-hmm. so and as an extension of the regular day, we've already had tutoring at our middle school in math and science and communications. And this is going to help us when we begin to take those, quote, those math tests that are
mm-hmm.
coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're excited about that. You think about things like the chess club.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
our young people are going to learn how to play chess. We also, guess what? We're going to start a golf team.
See, that's what I'm talking
yes,
about.
Yes, we're going to have
that's
young
people. That's what I'm talking about.
You know, more decisions are made on a golf course in this country. Big decisions.
And I also like the idea of golf in terms of it is this complete spiritual, mental thing, and it teaches you lessons about life that, okay, I messed up this hole, but the next hole, I'm going to do better. It's just such an empowering strategy type of a game. It's a wonderful thing.
And it's not only about learning now. Golf is a lifetime activity.
Yes, it is.
Our young people
yes.
in our community need
yes.
to understand it's not all about football and basketball. They need to do things where they're going to bring families together to
mm-hmm.
do things. Tennis,
mm-hmm.
golf, racket, all these things are lifetime activities.
And it's wonderful not to just know one language. It's wonderful to know a bunch of different languages and a bunch of different ways to communicate. And like you said, golf is something that I haven't seen too many 70-year-olds out hooping it. Okay, but I have seen 70-year-olds out on the golf course able to put that exercise into their daily lives.
Different, isn't it?
Yes,
we're
going
to have these young people. Guess what? They need to understand some of the things of etiquette. For example,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be going to nice, fine restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to sit them down and teach them how to know where the place servings
mm-hmm.
are, how to go to a Tony's
mm-hmm.
and see what it's like to go to a restaurant like
mm-hmm.
that and know what a tablecloth and a napkin and a candlelight and all that means.
And grown folks, I've dated a couple of grown men that don't know some of that stuff. So, I mean, every folks, all people need to learn this, and what a wonderful time to do it is when you're growing up in an environment of a school district that embraces you through this learning process.
And let me add to what Dr. Brown has said about golfing and about the etiquette piece. Those are two key pieces to the after-school programming.
Mm.
And while we're going to teach the young people to golf, we want them to have the opportunity to apply the things that they are learning in after-school. And
mm-hmm.
so we are putting together a Family and Friends Day. Mm. I want everyone to mark their calendar for May 30th, a Family and Friends Day. And as a part of that activity, there will be sports things going on at the respective schools. But we're also going to have a golf tournament.
Excellent.
And so I'm shouting out now to all of the golfers in the metropolitan area to make contact with us so that we can plug our young people who are learning golf with experienced golfers.
Maybe we can have like a golf mentor program thing going on.
That sounds exciting.
You know, I think that would really, really be wonderful. What's the number if people want to get involved in this?
The number that they may call, 314-575-7920. They may also call 314-290-7904.
Okay, and again, that's to get involved in this. Let's go through some of these other opportunities for the after-school program. And I want everybody to know that registration for these programs, February 24th through March 17th. Classes begin March 27th. And if you are a parent out there that and feel these words, that's not fortunate enough to be in the Wellston School District, can I participate in this?
Oh, yes.
Okay, how would I do that?
Well,
because we have a teen book club, we have a chess club, we have cheerleading, we have dancing, we have tutoring, we have math, boys to men, girls to women, girls in between, Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts. We have all of that. And I know that these programs aren't available for other parents in other places. How would they get involved in this?
Well, go ahead, Joyce.
This is a community effort in partnership with the school, and so everyone is welcome to participate. They may be in touch with Kalimba Kendall. She is directing all of that after-school program along with myself, and she may be reached at 314-290-7910.
And registration is February 24th through March 17th. Classes start on March 27th. And for all of the children that are enrolled in the district, it's free.
It's free.
Now, for other students, it's a dollar per class.
There will be a charge for children outside of the district, minimal, because we do want to be inclusive.
And how long is this program?
This program is going to run throughout the school year.
Okay.
And that leads me to our summer school. This will be a new beginning for summer school as we know it in the Wellston community. It will begin on June 12th, and run through July 14th, a five-week program. All of our summer school, with the exception of pre-kindergarten, will be held external the district.
Mm-hmm.
And so if anyone is interested in supporting that effort, we are taking donations of book bags, because the summer school will be held in places like the Science Center, the History Museum, Washington University, on and on and on.
So you're looking for book bags?
Yes, ma'am.
Looking for book bags. And again, we got to keep giving this number out for people that are inspired to really want to plug into and be part of a school district that loves the babies and that sees a future in the babies and has a plan for the babies for a future. So what's the phone number again?
We're going to go with our main number on this one. 290-7900.
290-7900.
Yes, or 290-7920. Mm-hmm. That'll get you directly to Ms. Roberts' office.
Okay, so we've talked about a little. Is there anything that you wanted to add about the after school programs that people need to know?
Well, we're very excited about it, and we invite everyone to join us in the effort to support young people both during the day and in extended learning opportunities after school.
I think one of the ways that we can measure the success of something is how many people come to it and how many people stay with it and how many people invest in it and how many people are saying positive things about it. Those are kind of the components that tell you if it's working out here. So in terms of is it working out here, the changes that are being made at the Wellston School District, how's it working for people for the numbers of people that are rejoining or coming to this district?
Let's start with the students.
Okay.
The enrollment at the end of last year was somewhere around 389.
389 students.
In the district. We now are closer to a 700 number in terms of enrollment. Now, that's important, but also important, you talked about consistency, sustainability. our attendance is somewhere around 90%. And so that means the students not only are coming back as enrolled students, but they're coming to school every day.
Coming to school every day.
And so that means there's something going on up there at that building or those buildings that's causing those students who want to come to school. Even the ones who were dropouts or put out now are back in the buildings.
Mm.
Our problem now is how do we entertain or engage those young people who are back in the building who don't belong there? We're not going to – we have now – a program and a grant to identify those students. And Ms. Roberts, please explain to them what we're doing with these young people who are dropouts, who are coming back into our hallways and have no place to go in the building because they aren't enrolled.
Well, we have put in place GED options. It's to recover those young people who are 17 years and older.
Wait a minute. I'm just trying to visualize this. I'm trying to absorb the moment of this. There are 17-year-old kids that, by all rights, are done with school for one reason or another. They are so moved by what's going on in the district and the energy that the district is putting out that they want to come back to school?
They are back and participating in the GED options program. And what we did was we shared this information in a rally at the high school that mm-hmm. we wanted to recover all of the young people who for one reason or another were not there to and a part of the cohort that's scheduled for graduation in May.
Uh-huh.
And the word went out.
Stop.
And 20 students came back to
Stop.
Us and are now enrolled in the GED options program. And not only are we preparing them to graduate with their cohort, but we also have in place a job readiness component so that we're giving them the skills for success.
That's just wonderful. And you know what? You can't pay for something like that. That is a spirit that is out there that is drawing these babies, these young people, back into this institution. That's you can't hire a consultant for that. That's what you all are doing out there because you didn't go put $1 million. You didn't spend $1 million for a PR campaign to get them to come back. The students
yes.
went and said, "Man,
yes.
you need to be back
yes.
here because this is a wonderful place."
Yes. This is the concept. I had a young man in the fifth grade, and they were ready to put him out of school because he got in a fight with this little girl. And I brought him to my office. He stayed with me a whole day. And he was shadowing me.
Wait. He stayed with the superintendent
oh, yeah.
the whole day.
Yeah, and guess what? I gave him my card. I said, look, if anybody is going to bother you, you show him this card. You got the superintendent on your side. But the point is this, that I told him, look, I said, why did you fight this little girl? He said, because she stepped on my foot. I said, do you know she likes you? That's right. You don't hit little girls who step on your feet. So the same thing.
She showed you some love.
Yeah. So these young people were coming back to the school not because they were trying to cause problems in the hallway. It's something that school they liked.
Right.
Why should we call the police on them and have them arrested and put them back out? We told our young people to go find the young people in the community who are in school. Go find them. Bring them back up to the school. We got something for them. And so that's what we have to be out.
So what happened to the baby that was shadowing you?
Oh, guess what? He's doing well. He's in school. He was about ready to be put out.
Mm.
And I tell you, I went to the playground when they just drove up during the recess.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him running out there with all the kids. And I got out of the car just to stay. He saw me from the far end of the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the playground.
Uh-huh.
And at full speed, ran to me.
Oh.
And hit me full speed and hugged me.
Oh.
And then turned around and went back out to play.
Because he said, I got your card, so I'm straight.
Oh, yeah.
I'm straight.
Yeah, I said, carry that in your back pocket.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And one of my favorite things that you all are doing is this whole, where you have this committee of all of the different representatives from each class. What's that called?
The Wellston Ambassadors.
Wellston Ambassadors.
Yes.
How's that program?
Joyce, tell them about it.
Well, we started off with two representatives from each one of the schools.
I just love this first graders, second graders,
yeah,
all the
yeah.
way up to high schoolers.
And as I visited schools, students made requests to join, and so I couldn't say no.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have about 30 of the young people now who are interested in carrying the message forward about the good things that are happening in the Wellston School
so
District.
So you have first grade little ambassadors
yes.
out there. So what are some of the things that they talk about in terms of what they would like? Because their job is to bring you concerns that they have, what they would like to see in the district? What are some of the things that they're bringing you all?
Well, they're talking about we don't have enough activities going on in the school district, which prompted us to begin thinking and putting in place the after-school program. We are now encouraging them to talk with the building principal and their peers and come up with activities that they can do at their own site that will encourage not only academic focus, but time to celebrate as well. And so they do come to our meetings and discuss things like not having enough activities to do.
And one of the most important things that I, tell me how important this is, the feedback from teachers, feedback from custodial workers, feedback from students, feedback from parents. Can you run a district without having feedback and connection with all of those parties?
You know, this I go by this, and it comes from the great book. The heart of the understanding one acquires knowledge, and the ears of the wise one seeks it. And so from the custodian to my chief academic officer, I'm listening every day to what people have to say. I sit at the end of the day with the head of the maintenance division. We talk about the school district. Sometimes decisions I make may happen as a result of something that came from that individual. And so, yes, we get input from everybody in that school district, and they feel like they're a part of the family. A shout out to my food service workers. I love those food service workers because they are right on. They're right on. They're right with the kids. They're from the community. If they see some student in the cafeteria not acting correctly during lunch, they'll walk out from behind that counter and go, come here, boy. You know, I'm going to tell your mama about this evening. And you know what?
They straighten
them up. So everybody plays a part, and they feel free to do that.
And they're vested in the future. They see themselves in these babies, and they're vested in the future of these babies. We have to take a break. I'm talking to the superintendent of the Wellston School District, Dr. Charles Brown, and the chief academic officer of the Wellston School District, Joyce Roberts. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. This is good news. This is good stuff. Stay with us. We'll be back after this break.
Speechless. See, I don't know what to say to you.
Award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. This is the station that discusses the issues that matter most to you, and if you have a problem with personal work or family relationships, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4. Then go do the right thing.
Come enjoy the musical Pippin at the Theater Guild of Webster Groves, 517 Theater Lane in Webster, March 3rd through the 5th and March 9th through the 12th. Shows are at 8 p.m. weeknights and 2 p.m. on Sundays. For more information, call 314-962-0876. Pippin at the Theater Guild of Webster Groves, 962-0876.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I got something I want to talk about. Y'all look here. The time has come to end my feelings. Yeah. There's just so much confusion going down. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone got their own opinion.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This hour, this hour, we're talking to Dr. Charles Brown. He's the superintendent of the Wellston School District, and Joyce Roberts, chief academic officer of the Wellston School District. And this is an important show. It's an important show not only for the good news that they bring, but it's also an important show for how things are supposed to be done and how important it is to have a connection to community and what you can do despite odds being thrown in front of you that things are not going to be done or you can't do this. You can do wonderful things if you care about it. Talk to us, Dr. Brown, about what's new in the Wellston Public Schools, the changes and the improvements that have been made in the short period of time that you all have been here. Because how many months have you all been at Wellston?
About 6 months, maybe.
I can't believe all of this has happened in 6 months. I can't believe it. 6 months?
Very short turnaround time.
It's 6 months. So talk to us about the changes that have been made.
Okay, I'll deal with the operational side, and I'll let Joyce talk about the academic side.
Okay.
What we've done, we've installed a district-wide phone system, and when we came there, things were really out of sorts. There was no communication across districts. We have a phone system in place now where Joyce and I can pick up our phone and talk to any teacher in the classroom right from our office.
Excellent.
Or we can plug in and talk to all the teachers at one time.
Mm.
And so we're planning for this coming semester to have a daily, a morning kind of thing where we talk to everybody in the district from the central office.
Mm-hmm.
That way,
maybe have one of your first grade ambassadors.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that we have plans for them to do that as well.
Uh-huh.
And so that is going to be outstanding as we use that new facility.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we looked at upgrading our heating systems. Now, one of the things I've heard in previous years, those young babies had to sit out there in cold buildings because the furnaces were always broken down.
Mm.
In the summer, when we first got there, we hired an engineer in-house.
In-house.
Who could break down those furnaces himself.
Mm.
We didn't have to pay somebody $500,000 and $600,000 to do that. He was hired to do that. He told us what we needed to do. Guess what? When the ambassadors came to us 1 month, we said, okay, How are things? Is it cold in the buildings? They get Joyce, what did they say?
No, it's not cold in the buildings. As a matter of fact, it's hot in the buildings.
They said it's too hot.
Okay, you got heat up in there now.
I told them I'd rather for you be too hot and too cold.
That's right.
But that is a big change. Because kids can't learn well in environments where they can't do.
And it also shows that you can't, I mean, it's such a disrespect from my perspective to stand still while babies suffer like that and to expect anything out of babies when you're not doing anything for them.
Not productive at all.
Mm.
And then the other thing, we've installed a coded alarm system throughout the entire district. Now, we have safety issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I know parents are concerned about the safety of their babies. I would if I would entrust my child to someone every day.
That's right.
And so we have it installed across the district, a coded alarm system. Now, what that means is everybody in the district who has access to the building has their own code.
Wow.
So if somebody enters that building inappropriately, we know who did it.
There you go.
So what that has done is cut down on the loss of equipment.
Mm.
When I got there, we were losing thousands of dollars because we couldn't find computers.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't find equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Whole pianos may be lost.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know where they were going.
Mm-hmm.
This way, we have that kind of thing, I think.
Excellent.
Pretty much.
Loss prevention.
Yes, there
loss
you go.
Loss prevention.
Also, as we look at the operations of our district, we have hired a treasurer, and that treasurer now can sit down and help us to project not just for this year, but we're projecting 6 years out where
mm-hmm.
we can be. That means now we've got to take a look at things like how we can get revenue for new facilities, how we can get revenue for changing our curriculum every 5 years in
mm-hmm.
terms of the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a treasurer who now understands that the district can only run if we know what a good budget is about.
Mm-hmm.
And I take advice from this individual. On a monthly basis, on a weekly basis, I know percentage of spending pattern in any line item.
Mm.
If I'm not spending enough, I need to spend more. If I'm
mm-hmm.
spending too much, I need to slow down.
Excellent.
Line by line. So that's something that has really added to the success of the school district. And then I'll turn over to Joyce because...
Well, now I got to give my favorite part. I'm sorry.
I'm going to tell you what.
My favorite part on the What's New in Wellston's operations, facilities, and safety, you've eliminated the outsourcing of custodial services and hired in-house custodial staff, saving the district approximately $200,000 a year. If we had a drum roll, I would be banging on the drums right now. This is outstanding.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that comes again with the treasurer. We sat down, looked at the cost of outsourcing these services, and right away we saw on paper the wisdom of changing that. And, of course, right now, with the savings that we have, and this is not a promise. This is really not a promise because there are other things we have to take care of in terms of budget deficits and those kinds of things. But if I can find these kinds of savings, I can look. One of my priorities is to ensure that these people in this school district get raises. They haven't seen raises in 4 years.
Wow.
And so why shouldn't I publicly say that one of my priorities is to find a consistent flow of revenue? If I can find savings, that's a consistent flow of revenue for that kind of thing. So that is what I'm doing. So employees out there know that is one of my priorities.
And the other piece of this is that there are things that you're not going to find on a spreadsheet in terms of what is gained by a particular decision. When you stop outsourcing and you bring your custodians in-house, you have a connection with the custodians, with the children. They are all vested in. They're not somebody that's coming in and out, part of a particular crew. They're there. The kids matter. The buildings matter. This is like their mama's coming to the school building. They want their school building to look nice because it's theirs.
The custodian at the Eskridge, and I'll be very specific, stopped me in the hall one day. We're in the buildings a lot. And he said, you know, it was tough at first. He said, but you know what happens now? The buildings are clean. Now students are picking paper up off the floor because if you have more paper on the floor than you should, then it stays there. If there's no need to see paper on the floor and you see it, then now they're picking up. He came over to me and he almost hugged me and said, thank you. I said, thank you. You're responsible. They take pride in their building.
Because it is their building.
That's right.
Because it is their building. So what are some of the other what's new in the Wellston Public Schools?
Well, Liz,
I'm
going to start relaying some things that we're doing on the academic side of the house. But we came in July focused around improving student achievement. And one of the ways to do that is to be sure that you have a seamless, consistent professional development program in place, because we want the best teacher before boys and girls. And so we are partnering with Stephen Peters of the Peters Group, who is coming in and providing professional development. And the whole topic is to capture, inspire, and teach. And
he's
working with our teachers around those three very powerful words.
And teach.
And he's due back in the district on April 3rd, and I would hope that I could bring him here so that you would have an opportunity to allow him to spread his message of what's possible for boys and girls when teachers know how to capture, inspire, and teach. And I'd like to present you with the curriculum using to work with our teachers. I might add, too, that he was here with us for 3 days, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th of February. And there's a young man, Jason Smalls. Good morning, Jason, who was so inspired by what Mr. Peters shared with him. And I can just remember him saying that interacting in this way with Mr. Peters, because he's not only working with teachers, he's working with parents, and he's also working directly with the students. He's changed me on the inside, and he only met the man in an auditorium session where he had a very meaningful message about how important education is, and how no matter what obstacles you're faced with, there's a plan to recover and stay the course. And so I'm excited about the possibilities that's going to come out of this intensive professional development for our staff.
Capture, inspire, and teach. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So talk to us about some more academic changes and improvements.
We came in, again, as I said, focused around improving student achievement, and so we put in place mock practice test opportunities for the young people as a practicing teacher, and that's what I still consider myself to be. Boys and girls get better with practice, and so we made a personal commitment to give them opportunities to practice around the kinds of questions that they would be exposed to district-wide on the MAP test, and we just concluded the last practice at the end of February. I'm also happy to report that we are now in partnership with the ACT company. They are going to provide opportunities for all of our high schoolers to take some form of the ACT test. The juniors and seniors will take the ACT, and those scores will count at no cost to the district and or the students. So I'm very excited about that. And the 9th and 10th graders will also take preliminary ACT practice in the form of plan and explore. Also agreed to pay for training for every high school teacher. And so I'm excited about the partnership that we have with them and the benefit of that to our young people.
And I need you to hold that thought because we have to take a break. I'm talking to Joyce Roberts, Chief Academic Officer of the Wellston School District, and Dr. Charles Brown, Superintendent of the Wellston School District. I'm Liz Brown. This is good news. This is good stuff. This is positive, positive, positive stuff. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us.
You're listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
This hour's global news update can be heard in its entirety next Thursday in the 945 segment.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else?
Where else, where else, where else are you going to get your washers, your dryers, your refrigerators, your stoves, your big screen television, your DVD players? How about a treadmill? How about a lawnmower? How about some tools? You're going to go to the only full-service Sears in the city of St. Louis. That's at Union and Natural Bridge. That's right, black-owned and black-operated. This is the best customer service in town. He treats you like a king. He treats you like a queen. You don't have to take out a small loan to fill up your truck to get out to the mall. No, you don't, because you have a full-service Sears right here in the city of St. Louis. Jerome Williams, I'm Liz Brown. When you go to Sears, when you talk to Jerome Williams, when you have the best customer service in town, tell him I told you to.
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pie's, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pie's, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and I'm here in the studio with me this morning, Dr. Charles Brown, superintendent of the Wellston School District, and Joyce Roberts, chief academic officer of the Wellston School District. And you have a story that you want to share with us, because we're talking about inspirational things. We're talking about how much and how successful the Wellston School District, in the short 6 months that you all have been there, you're touching the hearts and you're making a connection. Tell us, because we're still talking about the academic instruction changes that have been made, tell us a story.
Stephen Peters, I think we ended with Stephen Peters and the difference he made in the life of Jason Smalls. But not only has he touched Jason, there's another young man in the district. He's a star on our basketball team, mm-hmm. James. Mm-hmm. Good morning, James. James is just a natural-born leader. Mm-hmm. He's been very vocal about the things that were not in place upon our arrival, and we've listened very closely to not only James, because he is one of the ambassadors, but to the other young people. But James is a baller, a basketball player, and you know they have their gear. But he was in the audience the day Mr. Peters came, and he was another student touched by Mr. Peters. Mr. Peters is well-dressed, suit, coordinated, and all of that. And so that occurred on Monday. And so Tuesday we were meeting with the ambassadors. And James stepped into the meeting in a pinstripe suit, white tie, coordinated shoes, and the whole, I was just thrown for a loop to see that he had made a connection with Mr. Peters.
Mm.
And so much so that Mr. Peters is now advocating for James at the University of South Carolina. In fact, James, along with another senior, a lady, mm-hmm. a young lady, we're going to travel to South Carolina to talk with the coach there. And that was made possible by Mr. Peters' short interaction with James on that Tuesday as a part of our Wellston Ambassador meeting.
That's wonderful.
The thing about that is that when I first met James, and he doesn't care if me talking about it. He came in, he had a mohawk haircut. He was like most of the young people with the baggy pants mm-hmm. and the baggy clothes. Mm-hmm. And James is people gravitate toward him. Mm-hmm. He's a natural leader. And for some reason, one day I came in to our ambassador, and he says, "Look at you, your shoes almost shine," talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, "Well, James, why are you talking about me? My shoes are shining every day." I said, "I'm the CEO. They're going to be shining." "Well, they're not shining like they're supposed to." So that day that Ms. Roberts is talking about, I called him up in front of the students. I said, "You remember that day you talked about me and my shoes?" I said, "Today, truly, if someone were to look at the two of us, they couldn't tell who was the CEO of this mm-hmm. school district. I want to congratulate you," I said, "because your shoes are shining better than mine today."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that's the kinds of things that are happening to these young people.
Uh-huh.
They see what we're trying to do with there, and now they're caught on fire.
How gratifying is that for you all? You all just must go home and just feel wonderful about yourselves.
It's an incredible feeling, but it's one that's become contagious.
Mm-hmm.
And on that same day, we had a MAP rally,
uh-huh.
and James was the MC for the MAP rally that day in his suit. So
uh-huh.
it's incredible what's occurring, but it's because we are including all of the players.
Mm-hmm. And I want to run through some of these other things quickly here in terms of the academic instruction. Tell us about this grant for literacy leaders. Did we talk about that, the grant for that?
Well, it's a grant that we've submitted to get support around making sure that each school has a literacy leader in there. We feel very comfortable that it will be funded, and that's another way of having ongoing daily professional development, persons who can provide model lessons,
mm-hmm.
another pair of helping hands in the classroom for the classroom teacher. And so we're excited about the implementation of that grant.
And you use the word contagious about this, because I know that everybody that's listening right now, my boss called up and was just inspired by how the wonderful things that are going on in Wellston. And I know that people are feeling that right now. But tell us about some of the specific people that have been so inspired to join up and to participate in the future and invest in the future of Wellston. Well, there's a football football player that I want y'all to talk about, because we didn't have a chance to talk about that program last time you were here. Talk to us about that program.
Well, Leonard Little of the St. Louis Rams has come on board to support literacy and leadership, and he's doing an outstanding job.
What is he doing?
Well, he's coming in and he's talking with the young people, mm-hmm. reading with the young people. He was a part of the MAP Attack rally that mm-hmm. we had in February, and he was out of town and came in town to do that. And so he's very clear to share that he's not the role model, mm-hmm. but he just wants to lend a helping hand, that parents are really the role models that children should follow, and we're very grateful for his support. He has also agreed to help us with the Family and Friends Day, and specifically the golf tournament portion of that for the young people. And so, again, we congratulate his effort. And he is a living testament to the ability to learn from your mistakes. And so, again, the boys and girls are very excited about his willingness to lend a hand.
And he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that.
We also have a partnership with Boeing Corporation now. Mm-hmm. You may have seen in the news recently, we had approximately 40 of our young middle school students who went out to the Space Center mm-hmm. in the county. And they simulated the takeoff of the Challenger. That was the 20th anniversary, by the way, of the disaster. And so those young people in that mission control had to learn math. They had to know something about science, about oxygen coming in too fast and all that kind of thing. And then out of that will come an invitation of some of our young people to go to Mobile, Alabama, to the space camp this summer. And the next time that they have a major send-off of any spaceship, Welton will be there.
Outstanding.
And so Boeing has committed to being partners with us in our math and science. And as a matter of fact, Joyce, Randy Meyer, who is the contact there, said something about giving us some computers.
Oh, he absolutely has agreed to do that, and we should be in receipt of them very shortly.
So, Randy, if you're listening, thank you at Boeing.
This is just wonderful. Who else is coming to make this connect with Wilson? I know that there are people that are calling to volunteer.
We have had people to call and volunteer to help distribute the books in our satellite libraries. We've had people who have come out to fill out applications to join the Wilson team. We've also had a call from Miss Bailey. She's the mother of Howard Bailey. We know him as Chingy.
Mm-hmm.
The Chingy for Change Foundation has agreed to come on board and support our efforts around the golf tournament. And so we're really excited in terms of how we're being embraced by all facets of the community.
And again, 6 months.
The young man also, Joyce, it's the pitcher, Wilson, who heard us on Liz's last show. And he showed up at one of our board meetings and said, I'm offering my services now, and he's going to teach these young people who are interested in journalism and media. He's going to donate cameras and everything, and he's calling it the Picture Wilson. And they're going to go around and learn how to use photography if they want to get into the media and, mm-hmm. and journalism.
Mm-hmm.
So that came as a result of somebody here on our program.
And, mm-hmm. and the other thing is that I predict that this time next year, you're going to have people that are going to be paying to come into the district and to have their babies educated in the Wilson School District. And y'all gonna have to build some more schools.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. This Saturday, we're gonna have what is called an open house, and that open house primarily is there for those parents when the school district lost its accreditation who opted to send their children to other school districts.
Mm-hmm.
This meeting will be for them. We want them to come back to Wilson, and we're going to have our teachers, our parents, and all the stakeholders there to engage them in conversation about what has happened subsequent
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
June 30th.
That's right.
And so that they now, if they want their children to get a quality education, they can feel comfortable bringing them back to Wilson. And we don't want to make decisions at the state level about what's going to happen to their children without their input.
Mm-hmm.
So parents of children who have gone to other school districts, come to Wilson on Saturday morning starting at 9. We'll be there all day.
Excellent.
And we want to talk to you and get input and feedback from you.
And that's going to be at the Bishop Middle School. It's located at 6310 Wellsmar.
And the phone number for people that just want to be part of something wonderful, what's the number that they could call?
several numbers, 290-7920, 290-7902 are two main numbers, and that will either be Mrs. Roberts or it'll be me.
Very good. Dr. Charles Brown, Superintendent of Wellston School District, Joyce Roberts, Chief Academic Officer of Wellston School District. I'm so excited. This is wonderful. You all are doing a wonderful, wonderful job.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you
for joining me this morning. I'm Liz Brown. It's the end of another day. Tell you what, I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
You take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound below that
issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. President Bush says he will go to Pakistan to send a message to terrorists. You can't win, despite a deadly attack today. ABC's Pam Coulter traveling with the president in India.
President Bush does not want the Karachi attack to derail his Saturday visit to Islamabad. The Secret Service will assess the security situation all the way up until Air Force One is ready to take